Hey, this is Scotty in from Anthrax, here to talk to you about the Quality Time Brothers podcast. I'm saying this under duress, so anything I might be saying, take it with a grain of salt. But you should really listen to these guys. They're funny. Cheers.
I'm just going to do it one more time.
Quality time, video games, all the girls, comedy, and bitches. Quality time.
After Thanksgiving.
There's a ancient Greek method that they used to do where basically they would tie you to a boat, okay? Like a little single, little two-seater boat. They would tie you out long ways.
Okay.
Then they would just cover you with honey, okay?
Oh. Okay.
And then they just push you out into the water, and they just let the bugs have at you, and while you're getting exposed to the sun. Mm. And they said, like, sometimes it takes, like, 3-4 days of watching the bugs eat you alive until you finally, like,
pass
out.
That and, like, rats.
Like, that is pretty
funny. Like, when you get eaten, when you get chewed on by rats, that's, like, Jesus Christ. Because they don't chew at your most precious zones.
Oh,
they go out to in.
Yeah.
So you have to watch
that first
that
rat
happen.
That makes it in. That's probably an awful experience.
Oh, boys.
You curse him.
Boys, I made it through the asshole. Come on. It's good eating in here. And they're like, oh,
I didn't have
it
to chew. It's wide open. This guy was a freak. Yeah.
Oh, we have fun. We have fun. Anyway, welcome to Quality Time, everybody. Yay. We did it, everybody. We back. My name is Eric Woodworth, and we're here for another installment of Quality Time. No Jeremy Woodworth this week.
Aww.
He is out filming Mutant Chickens, the trauma film.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty dope. It's pretty dope. I'm excited. But to my left is the always present, the always very funny, the very lovely Miss Kimberly Ambrose. Kimberly, how are you doing, darling?
I'm chewing, as usual nowadays.
You weren't ready. You weren't ready.
I heard people listening to podcasts love it when people chew.
I'm trying to do it silently.
It's probably 80% of our show is chewing. Drinking, so we try to keep it.
And we get a lot of hiccup burps from this guy.
Yeah, yeah. And we do have a very special guest joining us, helping fill the very large shoes, quite literally and figuratively. Yeah. Mr. Comedian extraordinaire, Mr. Ryan Nazer.
Yay,
Ryan, hey,
thank
what's
you
up, buddy?
For having me. Not much, man.
Cool.
I don't know if this is exact. I don't think Jeremy sits in this chair.
He
right?
doesn't.
He sits
no.
on the couch.
Yeah. You mean the giant filth
yeah,
spot on the couch
say.
There?
Yeah, yeah.
yeah that's his spot. Yeah.
Yeah, it's open and no one took it.
Nobody wants it. I mean, this isn't exactly a comfortable couch. I'll add
it
that.
It looks
in.
Comfortable.
And yep, that's about it. It looks. It looks. So, Ryan, great to have you on the show, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
You told me last night you were having a crazy experience at the show.
Yeah,
Tell me about that.
Well, I John Yeager got me on a show at the French Quarter. It's always a fun show. He was doing a show for the DC Comedy Festival, so he wasn't there, and he had our friend Aaron Stevens host, and Aaron kind of picked the lineup. It was Frederick people.
Okay.
So I was like, cool, I would love to be on that show, and I was going last. So I sat through like 12 comedians, and the crowd was good.
All the Frederick people.
Yeah, yeah.
every
talented Frederick, every funny person in Frederick. So I get on stage, and it's a great set. The crowd's paying attention. Mm-hmm. And this couple walks in the middle of my set, and they sit down, and they're just talking. Like, they ignore that there's a comedy show going on.
Dude.
Mm. And it starts, and the people that are there watching, they're like, looking at her shoulders, like, yeah, good to see you. She's like,
Good old-fashioned assholes.
And so the woman of the couple is, like, not stopping. So instead of saying, you know, shut the hell up, I'm like, hey, what's your name? Thanks for coming in. What's your name? She's like, oh, no, I'm not going to tell you my name. And I was like, oh, why not? She's like, you look mean. And I was like, okay, whatever. That's fine. You just walked in.
You.
But she shut up. So it's like it served its purpose. So in the middle of my set, she starts heckling me. She starts saying, this doesn't sound real. And I was like, you know what? She just reminded me of these jokes I have about white privilege. This is the crowd's the crowd's like, yes. And I was like, leave it to a white woman to ruin everybody else's time, 80 other people's good time.
Right.
And so I'm telling these jokes, and it's going really well. I'm doing fine. And I keep looking at her, and she's just like mean mugging me. But she's not talking at this point. So I'm like, okay, whatever, whatever.
All right, yeah.
So I begin this part. I was like, I know you don't want to hear this from a white. I'm definitely white. And she's like, you're really white. I was like, yes, thank you. That's my point.
Were you wearing a Confederate flag T-shirt?
No, I was not. I was wearing a Black Panther T-shirt. No. And so she goes into a tirade of how I'm alone and how I'll never find anybody. I was like, well, if you were here from the beginning, I said you would know that I'm married and I just had a 3-month old. I have a 3-month old baby at home. But I was like, I abandoned them, so yes, I am alone.
Yes, perfect.
So she's just like, I'm Jewish, by the way, and I was like,
so you won't tell me your name?
Yeah, exactly.
But you will tell me
exactly. And I have some jokes, and it's literally pro-Jewish jokes,
yes,
you know.
Yeah.
And everybody, so I'm just lighting her up, and the crowd is loving it. Like, the bar staff after the set gave me a free beer. So she gets up like they're leaving, and I'm like, let's clap for that. And the whole crowd's cheering that she's leaving. So when you leave this place, there's a stairs that go up, and you oversee the whole area where everybody's sitting and the stage. And she just stands there. She's like, no, keep going. I was like, yeah, that's the plan, you idiot. Like, just leave. Her boyfriend's halfway out the door. So I started a tirade on him. I'm like, I'm sorry, dude. Like, this is why white women are awful. This is why you still only specifically date Black women. This passive aggressive bullshit.
Right.
I was like, you're not going to get laid for a month. And so I ignore her the rest of the set. I do my set. Look up, and she's crying her eyes out.
Stop.
At first, she was so tough, and that's what really pissed me off too, because it's like, you had so many big words and you were so tough, and now that you have nothing to resort to, it was such fake tears. Like, it wasn't like real. Mm-hmm. So I was like, look, I don't want you to cry and blah blah blah. I was like, let's give her
a hand. I want you to get by a car.
Yeah, like, just leave. That's what I really want you to do. So I make the crowd applaud for her. I was like, give it up for her. And her boyfriend comes. Her boyfriend's so mortified. Like, he's like, oh my god.
Don't
gosh.
You hate that? Doesn't it make you die inside
there's
a little?
Better. It gets crazier and crazier.
Oh god.
So anyway, the show's over. The bar literally comps my whole tab because of this. Like, they're like, that was hilarious. Yes. They hire me. I'm headlining in 2 weeks. The owner's like, what are you doing in 2 weeks?
Oh, that's awesome.
I was like, whoa. Because I was like, thought you guys would be mad. Like, she's white and angry. She's definitely going to write a bad Yelp review. Like, that's, you're going to definitely get that out of this. So,
I had a great night.
Yeah.
And I think this bar is one of my favorite places. I've been here multiple times. But comedian Ryan Nazer is a anti-Semitic.
I'm also
prick.
A woman hater, apparently. Yeah. So anyway.
And alone.
So I get my free drink, and we're all talking about this. The bar's like, what a crazy bitch. Like, everybody's talking about what happened. And I eat some food, and the guy at the bar's eyes get all big. He's like, dude, she's outside. Like, this is 30 minutes later.
Like, what, she's gonna punch you?
No, she left, and I was like, so this woman that works here, she's like, comes in, she's like, she's crying still. She just wants to talk to you. I was like, I don't want to talk to her. I was like, she's wasted. I don't want anything I say to her, she's not going to take in. It's not going to be a real conversation.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I would have left. I would have went out a back door.
They said, look, there's a door that goes straight. And I was like, no, I'll go out there, but I'm going to have another drink. I'm going to relax. Like, we talked for a while. We were bullshitting. An hour later, she's still out there.
Jesus.
So I'm like, okay.
But you're alone.
Yeah.
But you're alone.
Yes. Yes. So I go out. Everybody at the bar wants to see this. So they all come outside. We haven't. She's crying. She's like, why did you attack me? I was like, your view of this is skewed. Like, you're really drunk. You heckled me. Like, I didn't even bring your name up when I was telling my jokes. I said, oh, this does remind me of white privilege. That's the closest. She's like, I'm a Jewish woman. I was like, what does that have to do with what I said?
Right.
I didn't put down women. I tried to say that, you know, Hitler's a bad person. That's what I was talking about. I wasn't like, yay, Hitler. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm still very anti-Hitler, but you're starting to
turn
the tide.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think he had a point.
It starts with, to be fair, he was a great speech maker. Yes. And it just builds from there.
You think that's really what happened? Is that when Hitler was doing all those speeches, the Jews would wait afterwards, like 45 minutes?
But I'm Jewish.
I'm just trying to hang out with my German friends and the fucking Jews.
I just
want
to talk to you, Hitler. Let's just talk. I just want to talk about what you said.
But they're all drunk and have a titty hanging out, and they don't notice it.
So, So we actually like get to the guy that owns the place is filming the whole thing just in case she stabs me or something.
Oh God!
She sees that, she gets mad. Anyway, so we end up hugging it out. She apologizes. Oh, she understands she's in the wrong. So I talk to everybody a little bit longer. She goes around the block. As I'm walking to my car, I hear someone running behind me, and I think it's one of the comedians.
Oh God!
And he bumped into my shoulder. I was like, oh my gosh! I started laughing. I looked up and it says, "Dude, I don't know." And I'm like, "Who the fuck are you?"
Right?
And he's like, "Come on!"
Does he answer that he's the bear Jew?
He had a baseball bat. And he has a baseball bat. And
did you like making fun of Jewish girls? Is that right?
Yeah, he beat my head in with a baseball bat. So I realized that this is her boyfriend that came back. Like, how crazy is this couple? This is 2 hours after what happened.
Why did you move on with your night at all?
So he's just nuts. Yes, exactly. And
oh,
so,
my God.
And everybody else had such a great time. Everybody there is coming up to me like, that was so much fun.
It's not like you were said something in the room turned against you.
The other great part is that the people she was sitting with were her neighbors, and me and the manager came over and said, "We're sorry about that." They're like, "No, fuck her. She's a bitch. Like, we're glad she left. We hate her. We like him. Like, he's the one we want to hang." Anyway, so I'm like, he's squaring up against me, and I'm like, I couldn't figure out who he was, and then I realized that in my head, this is her boyfriend, and for some reason, I really wanted to punch this dude, because he was just like, and so, I'm such an idiot, I pulled my knife off my boat, and I said, "Do you think I fight? I stab people," and he ran,
yes.
And for some reason in my head, I got so mad, I was like, "Look, I have a 3-month-old son. I don't want him to be doing this. Like, I'm screaming this in the streets of Fairfax. Like, look what you made me do."
It makes you want to throw your knife.
Yeah,
like, that won't help, but you just want to.
But just watching him run, and then the establishment was like, "No, we have their name on credit card. Let's call the cops." Like, that's ridiculous.
Whoa.
They're stalking. The dude that owned the place broke it down. He's like, "They're stalking you. She waited 50
an
minutes
hour.
To an hour to talk
right.
to you."
Yeah.
And then he was waiting somewhere, clearly, because, I mean.
And he was aggressive.
Yeah. No, he wanted to fight, but he was acting like, "No, hit me first." So I was like, "Is she filming this somewhere?"
Well,
like,
he didn't want to do that. She talked him into this probably for the last hour.
That's also white people.
They're both white. Yes, that's such a white
people. Because it's like,
people.
I won't go to jail.
No,
like,
exactly. And the other thing too is like they thought about it so much they made a plan up. Like,
right.
Yeah.
That's intense.
I mean, people who don't want to fight are the people who say, "You throw the first punch at me." Those are the people who don't want to fight. You
know
what
I'm saying?
I used to be that guy, and then I realized it's so much better to throw the first punch, because you're already up on the upper hand.
Yes.
Although I've shit my pants if I ever punch first and the guy is very unfazed. Oh my God, I'm
like,
in fuckville right now.
He just stands there like, ugh. Doesn't even move him.
It's happened before.
It has happened.
My buddy when I went to Salisbury, he was a punch first guy, and I realized, I was like, wow, most fights just end if you just punch him first and then just stand there confidently.
Yeah.
Like, you had enough yet, or do you want to go? You want to go for round two?
Yeah.
And I did that one time. And that guy wanted round two.
That guy, there are some people that wanted, like, "Oh, he did it. That's what I wanted.
He was pretty badass."
You ever have like a bad week, and then somebody says something to you, and you're like, "I've been waiting all fucking week for this. Please give me a reason."
Dude, but it was pretty satisfying when I did pull the knife out. The look in his face, like, "Oh, this dude is," because I just went crazy mode. Like, I was like, "I stabbed motherfucker."
That's funny,
dude. There's just one time.
You think I fight?
I know.
That's such a great.
I was like,
question.
"You think I fight?" I was like, "I stab motherfuckers." I wasn't good. Clearly was not going to stab the guy.
It's like that Charlie joke about he gets a lot of compliments from the ladies, and then he's like, "I have never gotten a compliment."
Off camera.
I've never stabbed anybody.
And it's really, I only carry the knife on my book bag so people look at me like, "Oh, we should rob somebody that doesn't have a knife." You know what I mean? Like,
it's
like a deterrent.
We've had your bag stolen before.
The best part, the knife was, so my book bag was one shoulder, and then I pulled the other shoulder up with the knife on it, and he looked at it, and then he kind of like his arms went down, and then that's when I said that, and he just dipped. But he ran back into the parking deck, so he was waiting there for her to do her talk to me, and then for me to let my guard. It was just weird.
But what's so confusing is you guys hugged it out.
Yes,
she walked back and was like, "Fuck him up."
Yeah,
like what was the hug for?
Well, she walked the opposite direction. That's what was crazy.
What do you mean he said he's sorry? Fuck him up.
Hate him.
You already talked me into this. You said we couldn't have sex for 2 weeks unless I tried to fight him.
Malachi, you get your bitch ass down there and fight for my honor.
Come on, Sage.
Sage.
Fight for me.
Sage is such. fucking white name.
It's such a white
God,
name.
I
Jesus.
Love it.
But yeah, so it was crazy. But it was beautiful how the staff had my. As soon as that happened, they were like, "Let's find him." We all spread out like in groups to go find this dude.
Of course, they're used to dealing with these fucking crazies all the time.
And they
I
also this
that.
I would like to add. They had a $65 tab. They tipped $2. So fuck them.
Should have called the police just because of that.
Exactly.
Fuck out of here.
Oh, gosh.
There's one server older. This nice older black woman that works there. She's like kind of like the bar manager, and she's like, "Just go apologize." And as soon as we mentioned that, she's like, "Oh no, fuck that bitch." And she went outside.
Right.
She's like, "You gotta leave."
She took your knife out and was
she
like,
"She's like, I'm a stab. I'm gonna get the rest of your money."
That's cool, man. I actually had a show a couple weeks ago, but pretty crazy little instance. All right, now listen. I was doing a show to Dave and Buster's again for John Yeager.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
I went down to
Troublemaker. Yeah,
this one's for Brock. I'm sorry, it's for Brock. I go down to this Dave and Buster's in like somewhere in Virginia, like Ashburn, Virginia, or something like that.
Yeah,
fancy.
Ashburn, yeah.
And I get into this. And it's in like a back room, and we literally had to before the show just go and tell people to come to our show. It was so I had to go panhandle to
which
get people
they call
in.
Barking because you're a dog. When you do that, yes.
Yes.
So I know that's right.
But I realized that I found the best way to go to get these people. I went and bought a beer, and then I would like cheers people. And I was like, anybody who cheers me, I'd be like, "Hey, we got a cool show coming on in the back." They're like, "Really? For real? Yeah. I was like, "Yeah, come on back. We got a comedy show." He's like, "All right, cool." But the cheers like broke everything up.
Sure.
I
was
like,
We got like a little decent little crowd in there or whatever. And I get up and this guy is kind of hanging around back there and he's talking to me. He looks like a Mexican or Latino fellow.
Okay.
A little heavy set. And he's kind of like buddying up to me. He's like, "Yeah, man, I always thought about doing comedy and stuff or whatever." I was like, "Oh, it's cool." So I go up, I do it.
And while Eric's doing this impression, he does have a shirt that says "Build that wall." I'm just letting you guys know.
I do.
And like a chisel in his hand, like he's serious.
So, well, it's Washington Redskins. Might as well say that. You know what I mean? It's the same thing.
I come back out and like he's just like, "Hey man, I've been working on like this like cool joke or whatever." And I was like, "All right, man, tell me." He was just like, "He's like, what if you were with a girl and she was like, 'I'm pregnant,' but then you were like, 'I don't even have balls, man.'" and then he looked at me like,
"I'm laughing because that's so awful, but that's
the joke." That's and I was like, "I mean," and I kept looking at him like, "Okay, where is it going from here?" And he was like, "No, man, that's it. Like, I fucked this girl once, and like, I had testicular cancer. Both my balls were removed, and it was like, I can't even have kids." And I was like, "That's it."
See, that's where I get mad.
That's a great joke for you, buddy.
That's where I get mad because before that, it's just a poorly written joke.
But
now it's a reason to selfishly tell your life story to a person who did not ask
for
this.
That's exactly what he was. He wanted to tell somebody he had no balls, and the only way to do that is to pretend like he had a joke for a comedian.
Like, here's
my
version.
He's been hanging out on comedy shows forever to be able to tell somebody that.
Yeah. Like, here's my version of that same joke. What if you were with a girl and you got her pregnant? And you were like, "Dude, my mom left." You know what I mean? Like,
or what if you were the girl and she said, "You got me pregnant," and you're like, "I'm a lady, I'm a lesbian. That's the way I'm coming out, is just telling this story."
That's what I'm coming out. By the way, I'm a lesbian. Oh, cool.
So yeah, some guy basically told me he was Lord Varys from fucking Game of Thrones, and that was pretty much is it.
Yeah. Okay.
Lord Varys is the guy with it.
Yeah,
okay. He's the guy that talks like this, and I have no balls.
He has no balls.
He's castrated.
Wasn't he fully? He has nothing. I think he's a eunuch. He's a eunuch. Yes,
yeah,
he's a
eunuch. He's like a Ken doll with just a little hole to pee.
Why live? That's what
but
I
he's
said.
Still,
why
I
live?
Don't know. I fuck. He's free. But he's more free than you or I.
You
Kimberly.
Can tell that character's so freaky.
I've had great orgasms. I 100% disagree.
Well, yeah, that's but yeah, but I make a lot of decisions based on my dick, and he's never had to deal with that. He's never had to be like, "You know what? I gotta let this girl do this thing because I might get in there." No, he doesn't give a fuck.
Dude,
that's true.
That character's written though, like he doesn't have a dick. But he definitely finds a way to watch little kids have sex.
Oh, like, yeah, he's just like,
he's still,
oh,
it didn't
I do.
Help him.
Oh, yeah,
he's still doing fucking awful stuff to children.
He's into pedophilia.
Yeah,
yeah.
That didn't stop him.
Oh, yeah, good. He's free. That sounds a lot better. Yeah. That sounds great.
I want to be. What if he's like, what if they're really, what they really mean is that he's a pedophile, so he likes to actually watch like other people's pets have sex? Is that, no? I tried.
Is he original Rothschild?
Yes.
He's like the first Rothschild.
That's the only way they can get off is watching fucking beagles and chihuahuas go at it.
Oh, I have a movie thing that happened to me this past week. My fiance and I were watching Red Dawn, Swayze All Daisy, and and the very first scene of this movie, we had a very 2018 moment, right? The very first scene of Red Dawn is a bunch of kids in a high school, just at school learning. There's this good teacher. He's doing his thing, trying to get people to understand about the Mongolians, right? Great stuff. And then outside of the school windows, the Russian military parachutes in, sets up high-powered artillery weaponry, and just opens fucking fire. And, like, they show, mm-hmm. like, kids hanging out the windows, yeah. like, blood coming to the... Right?
That's why the original is way better than that shitty remake.
So good. Yeah. So good, right? Scene yeah. one, welcome to the movie. Mm-hmm. It's gonna get hard.
Nearly as many dead kids in the remake.
Right. So, we were watching this, and later on in the movie, like, Swayze and a bunch of his guy friends, which they try to convince you that Swayze's still in high school, which is adorable. I believed more in Tu Wong Fu that he was a yeah. woman than that he was in high school in Red Dawn.
That's a great movie.
yeah. But they're in the woods and they're having this really heated conversation about, like, what are we going to do? This is World War III. And my fiance goes, when was it ever established that this was World War III? They never said it till now. And I was like, Brian, they shot up a high school. It's 1983. See, do you see how jaded we are?
Yeah, yeah.
That in 2018, we saw that and went, what do you mean? You didn't just go to the grocery store and go about your day? Trump is president. There's two school shootings a month. Yeah, what the fuck are you talking about? You went into the woods? What's wrong with you? And it was just such a weird position.
It was also
the
whole Russian... It was like a whole attack of that whole town. That
Yeah. But it starts with that. But to our brains, we didn't... That wasn't enough to establish to us
that
something horrible was happening. Yeah. We were just like... And?
Well, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's funny.
You're so used to school shootings. That,
right.
Yeah.
That we were like, okay, and what now?
Yeah.
It's funny because the school shooting is clearly like a definitely a phenomenon that I don't think is, it's probably never going to go away. I think it'll
yeah,
be here
right?
to stay.
Right.
But if you guys have ever, there's a Stephen King novel that's currently out of print. You can't actually buy a copy of it anymore. It's called Rage. He wrote it in the 70s and he pulled it after Columbine. And it's literally about a kid who goes to school and kills his teacher. And then holds the school hostage at gunpoint.
Yeah.
And that was fucking like
years
and years before the Jeremy song by Pearl Jam.
Right,
and this,
right.
Like,
yeah.
That visual that they chose for the beginning of that movie and that he chose for this book is supposed to automatically, without explanation, signify this is the worst thing that could happen.
Yes.
Like, this is,
and to us, we're just like, well, then you just make mac and cheese and you talk about it over dinner. I don't know.
You tweet
I don't
about
know
how
what
awful
you're,
it is.
Right. You disagree on Facebook
well,
and you
see,
move on with your life.
To me.
And the kids protest.
This
is probably my very... I don't know who would share this. I don't know if anybody would share this view that I have. But listen, this is why I think that there's school shootings.
I like a one-man view.
All right, this is a one-man view. I have no... There's no evidence that corroborates this. There's no nothing.
This opinion is the loneliest number.
This is my opinion. You see... Now, it's been about, what, when was Vietnam? Like the late 60s, early 70s,
right?
You know,
74,
that was the last
I think
time
was
we had
last.
A real, that was the last time we had a real draft, okay? A
right.
real draft where everybody has to go to fucking war.
Right.
Well, I feel like there are just people who need to murder people amongst us, no matter where you are. And we're in a country that went through a lot of fucking murdering for like a long time, right?
We used to have hunters and they could hunt.
And I think those people, when they don't find the outlet of the state making them go out and murder people, are going to eventually just murder people here.
Right.
I don't think there's a choice in their mind if that's the
sociopathic
only
brain wiring type of.
Well, yeah.
Like, I mean, you're just born.
Well, the thing is, when
fucked up.
When you win wars, right? Like, if you win a war, that means you had a lot of people that murdered a lot of fucking people and didn't die.
Right.
Well, they went on and they fucked and made other children were probably prone to be able to fucking murder people, right? Like, I mean,
alpha.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
When you get
especially
all
with
those
their dads getting drunk and telling how great it was to murder people.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, I used to gut fucking Viet Congs for fun. It was a hoot.
And
my
batting his side woman around.
My dad and my father-in-law, who both, were in Vietnam, will not talk, like, especially my father-in-law, like, you could tell he killed motherfuckers in Vietnam.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And not like I'm like, hey, tell me about those, you know,
well, no,
the Viet Cong
really,
that you killed.
Tell
you know,
me about your murder spree.
But it's
I want to hear
he
it.
Doesn't, they, neither of them want to talk about it. It's
well, I just don't think that ever goes away, though. You understand? Like, the people
who
produce those people are, that's in our gene pool. We have a certain number of people that are like, yeah, that's cool. I can go fucking
but for
murder
every,
some people.
Yeah. But for every guy that doesn't want to talk about it, I'm sure there's a guy that gets drunk and loves talking about how.
And he didn't do shit.
Yeah, he didn't do it. Yeah, exactly. He probably killed one villager for fun just to see what it felt like. And then, like,
yeah.
Never got shot at before in his life.
Fucking, but that's just my theory. I don't think it'll ever go away.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because there's just, you know, it's the joys of living in a free society. Yeah. You know, you give all these people the thing with freedom is that there's a chance that you can get murdered by your neighbor, okay?
Hey, you're free to do that.
That's true.
You're free to do that.
I mean, they might get prosecuted and go to jail, but that's their...
That's the joys of living in a free society.
They have the freedom of having a gun.
Yeah, I mean,
So, and use it how they see fit. You don't think, though, that if we... I don't know. Let's not get into that. Never mind. I was going to say, you don't think if we put pressure on, like, if we also tried... Like, say a child got a hold of... Like, say one of your kids... Mm. Took one of your guns and they probably kill you, but not
of course,
school.
Yeah.
They usually kill themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Finally.
finally. Put you out of your misery.
A sweet release.
Yeah.
That's what they say is more children in the U.S. are killed by gun accidents every year than people are killed by terrorism. Which is a lot of fucking kids.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fucking kids. Because people don't lock their shit up. It's dumb.
Yeah.
That's
dumb. What I'm saying. But if there was consequences like, oh, the parent is going to be tried too.
Yeah.
Manslaughter or whatever, because that's your gun.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that too.
If you're responsible for that kid already.
I guarantee you people will be watching their guns more of the chance that their kid that's on Lexapro or on
well, even just accidents. It's like five-year-olds who are just playing with it. And they shoot themselves in the stomach and they explode in half because they're five. And they're small.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
you painted that visual like Bob Ross. Like,
hey.
Not just they accidentally shot themselves. No, they exploded
they
in half.
They explode in half.
Because it's a cannon to
and
their
then
little bodies.
Confetti comes out, but it's like little tiny skull confettis because it's sad. It's a sad moment. Yeah.
Well, I think one correlation we've overlooked, you know, they talk about the Adderalls and the stuff that they put these kids on. That might be involved. But I'm going to take it one step further. I mean, school shootings been prevalent for about 2 decades now. Little show called Big Brother. I'm just saying, maybe there's a connection at the Big Brother level.
And the title, it all ties in.
Reality
all
TV
ties in.
Bearing down on us, making our kids murder each other.
Maybe the CIA isn't just watching you through your webcam. Maybe they're whispering things through your speaker, and you're just hearing it on the low.
Exactly. You know,
like it's CIA agents, like, dude, fuck Tina.
Kimmy.
Fuck Tina and her whole family and everybody she loves.
Fucking accounting. If she comes in here one more time with a Rice Krispie fucking square, I'm going to shove it right down
have
my
you ever
clock
seen
nine and pump round after round into her.
Have you ever seen the Bobcat Goldthwait movie, God Bless America?
Yes. I have not.
Yes.
Oh, Eric, you would love it.
Shoot a baby.
Wouldn't he love it?
It's so good.
Oh,
so
but
good.
He
you
kills that girl,
it.
Chloe,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's a part of you that's like, I feel cleansed.
I love when those characters are established that this you just hate them and then you know they're going to die and it's such a good...
Dude, when the guy double parks, like parks over the line, he's like, fuck you, why do I have to care? And then they show the newspaper like, man is killed in a parking lot for parking over the line. Like, fuck yeah, dude.
Fuck yeah, bro. No, I haven't seen it, but I'll watch it now.
You'd love it.
You've suggested it. Future quality time in the...
I'm just going to preface, I don't like the girl, I don't like how she's written, and I do not like how she performs the bit, but the rest of the movie is fucking... perfect.
Right, I'll find
the girl that goes along with him.
Yeah, his friend. Everything that comes out of her mouth, I'm like,
I'll find a counterpoint to that after I watch it.
Okay. Point counterpoint.
But real quick shout out. Thanks to all our quality timers out there that have been tuning in.
Thank you.
You know, hey, listen, Super Fandom has been up and down because, you know, Super Fan number one, I'm going with Matt Cannon right now. But
always.
If I can say Jeff Hancock is right on his fucking
pulling
nuts.
Pulling in.
A ball sack away.
How do you determine
a truck nut away.
How much they praise me in general.
Okay, good.
That's usually how much praise I get from each of them.
Matt Cannon makes
Matt Cannon
memes
that
are like, and pictures that are based on stuff we said.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like I said one time, Mulholland Oates.
Yes.
And so he made like, I took a picture of Holland Oates and put the Mulholland Drive like behind it, but he changed the letters.
Nice.
Fucking
so
beautiful.
Like,
he
beautiful.
Took time
so
that I could open Instagram and go, ha!
That's
amazing.
His best movie, by the way. Mulholland Drive, hands down, his best
hands
movie.
Hands down. My hands are
Blue
down.
Blue Velvet's great, don't get me wrong, but
it scarred
Mulholland
me.
Drive is the perfect everything
like
he's ever
watch
done
it a thousand
and
times.
Actually done in a brilliant way. I really think that's his best movie, hands down.
Fair enough. Okay. Fair
that
enough.
And Firewalk with Me, of course, just because
I got on a thread and I shat on Fire Come Walk with Me.
Fire Come Walk with Me, my bad. The movie?
I did. I shat on it because it ruins. It's not. Listen, I love Twin Peaks.
Yeah, me
okay?
too.
Okay.
And then he made a movie that didn't have. They were like, I'm going to explain everything how it goes down. You walk away, you still don't know what the fucking character Bob
that's true,
is.
Yeah.
You still don't know what that fucking talking midget that talks
but it's,
backwards
it's,
is.
It's a placeholder for the show. You go back to the show.
Oh, I stopped
by the
watching
way, guess
Lost
what?
Because
it was
of that.
The dad all along. That's the whole story.
Yeah.
That's it. It kind of drove me a little nuts. The
I
movie.
Stopped
that's
watching
all.
Lost because of that. Because there was just no fucking answers. I still want to know about the polar bears. Like, why?
I haven't seen the new Twin Peaks. You guys seen the new Twin
no,
Peaks?
No, I started it. And
I
it
started
was really
I didn't
slow.
Finish it.
I think
yeah.
I'm going to sit down and watch. It's the same thing with X-Files right now. Well, that I'm just waiting to have all of them so I can watch them all
yeah.
this
Hulu?
Season.
Do you have Hulu?
Yeah, I have Hulu.
It's on there, but it's on there. It's already.
I'm gonna wait till they're all out.
They're all out.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, the finale
okay,
happened
well then,
like 2 weeks ago.
Same thing with Ash Evil Dead. I want to wait for Ash
That's
Evil Dead.
That's the one thing this baby has been killing for me.
Season.
I do not get to watch enough shit anymore.
I agree.
And reading
with
a
that.
Comic in one hand while you're feeding a baby is so damn hard. That's
I created this life, and now I can't watch comics.
I know, right?
Must be rough.
Can't watch comics.
I watch all the kids' fucking shows now, though. Captain Underpants,
oh,
you name it, the Shreks, I've seen Frozen more than 30 times.
I'm not, I'll be honest, I'm not that generous about it. Like, we can watch a few episodes of what he wants to watch, but if I'm ready to sit down and just be sitting down, I'll put on a Disney movie that I like. I blew his fucking mind the other day.
Like what?
Because, well, he watches a lot of like Transformers and like dudes doing cool stuff shows, you know, like teamwork
okay,
and like,
yeah, like,
you know, ninjas. He's super into ninjas. There's a lot of Lego stuff that happens in my house, which Lego is hilarious.
Lego
Batman was amazing. They're voiced by great
Lego
people.
Lego Star Wars.
But the other day I was like, dude, we're not, I'm over it. I can't. I'm pregnant. I'm tired. I'm going to watch TV with you. But
use
we're
that card. You should.
Oh,
that should be your card
yes,
for everything.
Yes, for everything.
Yeah, you should get your one for the
this
next.
This kid will be 17. And I'll be like, I had a child 17
yeah,
years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. So we watch, we watch Pocahontas first. Mm-hmm. And can I tell you, almost cried several times because that's a very fucking moving movie.
Yeah. I think that's the first movie Disney was not like overtly racist in a thousand different
yes,
places.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I watched Peter Pan again. the Native Americans.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Like,
Tiger
oh,
Lily.
Oh, my God. Those are white people dressed up as. yes.
Please don't tell anybody at Salon. We'll have a whole fucking think piece written by tomorrow.
Well, even more than after that, we watch Mulan.
Mulan.
So it was two.
I don't think I ever saw Mulan.
Oh, Mulan's great.
Yeah,
Mulan's
I don't think
great.
I've seen Mulan.
But it's two movies where the main character is a female.
Yes,
she's a powerful person.
Yes.
She goes through a lot of trial and tribulation.
It's been every Disney movie since
and
that.
She's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
And my age group was the first ones to have that. So I could tell, like, after those movies, he kind of changed his pace a little bit about
how
he talks about girls and boys
and
stuff. I was like, yeah, Pocahontas, motherfucker.
I think that's after
she
Disney
went down
died.
A waterfall on a canoe and lived to tell about it.
Well,
what?
The thing about
what?
All of them, Frozen is the only movie where it's the best moral of the story because it's the only Disney princess that doesn't do it for a dude.
Yes.
She does it for the
Mulan
love of her
did
sister.
Did it for her dad.
But
still
that's
a dude.
Still a dude, but not like love.
Yeah, true.
That's,
yeah.
You
like,
know, with the new Wonder Woman, they had to have that thing where it's like she's in love with a guy and it made her crazy when he like died or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, why can't she just be awesome? Why do
well,
we need a backstory?
That's also a story of how that's the last guy she was really ever with for like hundreds of years. So I think like that's
fucking
man.
He's
what's
dead
it like?
Now.
What's it like when your dick is so good?
Wonder Woman is like, well, to be
God.
Fair, it's the only dick she's ever had.
Right.
He was like, no, you totally had an orgasm.
This is a college drama. This is a first year college drama.
Exactly.
You realize that guy walked around for the rest of his natural life saying, I fucked.
See that god
Wonder
over
Woman
there?
One time.
Yeah.
And,
she's a god, but you know, whatever.
She says my dick is basically sliced bread. You understand?
No, his
it's
story
the
is probably.
Thing that's ever happened.
His story is like, I was on this whole island. I had my pick. You know, they all wanted it. And.
I picked out the ugly one.
But he's humble. But he's humble. So he's like, you know how that
she
goes.
She had a great heart, guys.
Hey,
she had a great God heart.
Listen, you've given out charity cock before. Am I right, Bill?
Am I right? You know what it's like when you have this island of Amazonian women and you get your pick and it's like you take heart because you know what it's like, Bill. You know what it's like.
Oh, it's okay. We fucking. Death by snoo-snoo. Am I right?
Worth it.
But just a real quick reminder, anybody who's a first time listener to the show, make sure you go ahead and log on to Stitcher or the iTunes. Drop us a 5-star rating. We'll read it on the show.
Check it out.
I know I keep saying we're going to do this. We are going to do it eventually. I'm just trying to get a couple more of those.
Send them
hot
in.
5-star ratings.
Send them in like you want
By
us
the way,
to
if
read
you,
them.
If you want to shit on us, if give us a 5-star rating and we'll read you shitting
oh,
on us.
Oh, that's a great
too.
Idea.
As yeah. long as you give us a 5-star
that's
rating, that's
yeah,
all we
yeah,
want.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter, because it'll help us, it'll raise us up. So,
yeah.
you know, for instance, Ben Hancock from the Laugh Finder pod, he gave us a 5-star rating where all he did was talk about Laugh Finder. We read it on the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they got a free plug out of it.
Sure.
So
smart.
Yeah, as long as you're not like pro-Nazi, we'll probably yeah. read it. I mean, that's yeah. that's
and
pretty
honestly,
much...
even then, Jeremy has said things that kind of are worse.
Okay,
so...
Jeremy will read off those
okay,
ones.
Okay, well, yeah,
so
there
we can
go.
Leave
that's
that
smart.
Over on that side, you know. But tonight,
Ooh.
Or today, or whenever you're listening to it,
Girl.
We're going over the 1992, I'm going to say classic.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are.
Fire in the Sky.
Ooh, yeah. sensual. What?
So... I, by the way, is there a song that's more annoying than this? This drove me nuts rewatching this. Just listen to this. Oh, God.
Yeah.
The pings are when they put the probe in. That's
oh,
it's when the probe's
it's very
getting deeper
intentional.
And deeper, yeah.
Yeah, this movie is... I remember watching this, and I guess I was probably... It was right when it came out. I was probably 10 years old when this movie came out.
Mm.
Yeah,
and I remember
I was
being
11.
Fucking terrified
yeah,
of
I was
this
terrified.
Movie after you finished
and
it.
And the only reason I watched it is this came out right after Terminator 2 came out, and Robert... What's his
Robert
name?
Patrick.
Robert Patrick.
Yeah.
I was like, he was the new Terminator. That's why I have to see this
that's
movie.
That's not how you say his name, dude.
What?
That's not how you say his name. It's Robert motherfucking Patrick, y'all. Oh
yeah.
my God, I love him.
Yeah,
last two seasons of X-Files. What? Agent Doggett?
Yes.
Yeah, he's pretty good as Agent Doggett.
Every
yeah.
time I see
it's
him,
good
I'm
to
like,
see him working.
Oh!
It's
you know
good
what
to
else he was great
working.
In? When he was in The Men Who Stare at Goats,
yes.
he did that sort of cameo thing
cameo,
where he's like
yeah.
talking about Afghanistan. He's like, it's a gold mine. We're going to put McDonald's up and we're going to put, and it was the true story mm-hmm. of those two infantries that like fired at
yeah.
each other. Fuck, that was great. I love Robert Patrick.
He's fun. Yeah. Funny story that I know Jeremy would share if he was on the show tonight. Jeremy met Robert Patrick because
Stop.
He worked on the movie Ladder 49 as an extra.
There you go.
And,
Ballmer movie.
What?
Filmed right here in Ballmer.
Yes,
Ladder,
it was.
Ladder 49. And Jeremy came up to Robert Patrick and had a picture of Edward Furlong from Terminator 2. And he came up with like a picture of him. He's like, have you seen this boy? Like that. And brought it up to him. Like the movie Terminator.
Right.
He's yeah. like, yeah, he's a lot older. Blah, blah, blah now. So
yeah.
Jeremy weirded out another human being who's famous
cool.
in Robert Patrick.
Yet again.
Yeah. Well, he's a master of that. And if there's any chance that he can make it awkward, Jeremy's going to succeed in that front.
Robert Patrick has a face where it's like he could play like well-meaning dad who's just down on his luck, or he could totally play like son of a military family who is not allowed to talk shit about what they know about.
Mm-hmm.
Like he could be conniving
yeah.
or he could be
yeah.
kind of downtrodden. He's just got that all-American apple pie baseball face.
Yeah.
God,
I thought he
him.
Could also be the bad guy in the Matrix. He could definitely
yeah.
be that deadpan.
Yeah, totally with that jawline.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
kidding me?
I don't say much, but I'm menacing. Like yeah.
I don't fight. I stab
yeah,
people.
Yeah.
That's what he would say.
I feel. And Robert Patrick always had that thing where like he never quite became an A-lister.
Yeah,
yeah.
He was always like the B-plus guy.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like he's what I feel like. Like Gary Sinise achieved A status
yeah.
because he was in Forrest Gump, but
yeah.
never
right,
Robert Patrick.
Right,
he never had
right.
that Forrest Gump moment where he got to move up
yeah.
to A list.
But I know you're like this. Like I'm like this. Like if you never get there, but every movie I love, you're in. I have so much respect for that. Like if somebody's
yeah.
like, no, I'm not going to take the A list movie this year. I'm going to do the movie about like robots who fuck people.
Yeah.
Like great
yeah.
choice.
I'm
great listen, choice. Every
why
time.
Do you think I love Peter Weller? Okay,
yes.
yeah.
he's a great actor. All right, he was RoboCop, and
yes.
he was also in a movie called Screamers. I love both.
He's
of
the
those
real
films.
RoboCop.
Yeah, the original.
Yeah, the
OG.
R-rated. How do you make a RoboCop that's not R-rated?
Yeah, fucking. Oh my gosh!
I remember
gosh.
Seeing that movie and all the blood. Like there's so many squibs in that movie.
Yeah.
I was just like, that's what it looks like when someone gets shot. It's the most horrible. Their
yeah.
half their body blows apart. They
Have you
blew
ever
his hand off when he was on the ground?
Have you ever seen My RoboCop movie? It's
no.
online. Oh, do yourself a favor.
What is it?
It's a movie called My iRobocop movie. And it's basically when they re-released the RoboCop movie, people watched it and were so horrified by how bad the new RoboCop was that a group of comedians and directors got together and each took 15 minutes of the movie.
Nice.
And basically, just you have this 15 minutes, remake it however you want.
Nice.
And they remade the whole movie and it is like, all right, so the highlight of it is this scene from you know, the scene in the movie where the lady's about to get raped or whatever, and he shoots the guy in the dick, right? Yeah.
Best part of them, one of the best parts of the movie.
The scene
that dude
Myra,
ain't raping nobody anymore.
The scene in My RoboCop is one of the funniest things I've ever watched, because all of a sudden she's about to get raped and the same thing goes down, shoots him in the dick, and then all of a sudden another guy comes over, he has another girl and his dick is out, and he's just like, he has to shoot this guy in the dick, and then literally it's like Agent Smith in like in part two of Matrix, guys with dicks coming everywhere, he's just shooting dicks off left and right, slow motion, just exploding
that
dicks everywhere,
great.
Like Duck Hunt with dicks.
I'll definitely check that
out.
Duck Hunt with dicks.
It's one of the funniest.
A beagle pops up.
You got it.
They were like, oh no, it's a girl to rape. They're like climbing over fences and like just blowing dicks off everywhere.
Oh, that's so great.
That's so good.
It's
very
funny.
I'll definitely check that out. That's great.
We'll watch it before you leave. I'll pull it up.
That's great.
So this movie opens up and it opens up before even the Paramount thing or anything starts. It just says, Chance makes a plaything out of man's life.
Yeah.
And that's a quote from the philosopher Seneca, who is a Roman philosopher back in the first century AD.
I'd be fucking with that.
Yeah. I would like,
it's
it
a good setup
deep.
For the movie, too, because it's all chance where they would be in the right place at the right time. And
well, and it's allegedly, depending on what you believe, it's a true story. So it's like this guy was just living a life, and
I mean,
now
the
it's
police
totally
reports are there. He was definitely, if it's not true, they did a hell of a job.
Well, there's some things, if you guys aren't familiar with what the movie is based on, it's actually based off of the book, the Travis Walton Experience, who claims that he was abducted by aliens.
He has YouTube clips you can watch where he's giving talks, he's giving speeches and things.
Now, there is a large part of the UFO community that believes that this is a hoax. Mm-hmm. And the main reasons that they believe it's a hoax is because Travis Walton was abducted 2 weeks prior to this show airing on ABC that was about alien abduction and somebody getting abducted, which was actually based off of the Barney and Betty
story.
But Barney and Betty, I can't remember
their last names. They've been abducted over and over.
But they were abducted over and over again.
And they have weird shit in their bodies to
prove
it.
They showed something on ABC, and they've even said that Travis's brother Dan, who's actually in this movie, and his mom were all UFO experts.
They were
enthusiasts as well before this happened. So those are the only things that that only accounts for Travis basically lying. I mean, there's lie detectors that were taken by everybody else who witnessed it that have all been proven.
And that's what makes the movie great. It focuses on the people around him who were freaking the fuck out. And they were normal. They had nothing to gain. They had a lot to lose by putting their shit out there in a small town.
It's not like the rest of these
guys. In a small town called Snowflake, Arizona.
Like, what a surprise.
That's
Snowflakes.
A white town. There's no snow. There's no real snow.
Always
there's
want
no snow in
have.
Arizona. This is Snowflake because we're all white.
Also, because there's
very Democratic.
Started as a hoax. It continued as a hoax.
Exactly.
Also, trees in Arizona. I'm very confused by all of this.
What?
It seemed like a weird landscape for
Arizona. Arizona is a lot like Neverland. Like you run enough, you'll see snow, and then you'll be in the desert, and then back to a forest.
I like how there's an alleged abduction, like alien abduction. Survival comes back to live his life to tell the story, and Eric is like, "There's no fucking trees. Get the fuck out of here."
Right.
So the movie opens up with a truck driving absolutely nuts through the woods, clipping trees. I mean, this guy is like driving like a total madman, nearly crashing multiple times, almost gets T-boned by a giant tractor trailer as he pulls onto the freeway. And all of a sudden, they stop in front of a diner, and it says, we get to obviously learn where the setting is, which is White Mountains, Arizona, 1975. drive.
Again, White Mountains. Like, yeah. Come on. Whew. We get it. You're all white. Come on.
We get it. Indians don't own this place anymore. Nah, okay.
No, you took it over. We get it. You killed them all.
We get it. You rape.
Yeah.
Five people emerge from the truck and it seem clearly shaken. You know, he ignores the people at the door who clearly know who the character Mike is. They sit down at a table and Robert Patrick's character, who plays Mike in this movie, say, "We're sticking to the story, right?" Guy walks over. He then goes and walks over to a payphone to call in what happened. Next, we get to meet Frank Waters, who's played by James Garner. I think he does a pretty amazing job in this movie as the skeptical cop.
Yeah.
He gets the call and heads over to the diner because he says to the sheriff, tells him, "You know what? You're going to want to hear this firsthand."
Well, this is before 911 emergency phone service existed, is it not? So he had to.
I'm not sure. I wasn't alive at the time.
I think he had to go out of his way to contact the authorities. Yeah. Like if you had a problem, you had to find
a
police
number
station.
Too, for the, it was just a number for the police station.
Just call 866-555-411-811-811-811-4 extension.
Yeah.
I think it was just 1-800 we're white.
We're white.
And that let them know that you're white and they will come help you.
877 cash now.
If you're the one black guy in town, you're screwed.
So the sheriff meets James Gardner's character Frank outside of the diner where the fellows are sitting. He gives them a rundown that they're basically a logging crew. They went up there. One of their loggers are missing. But he said he's not going to believe the story that they're about to tell. So we're missing a person. You need to hear it personally is what they leave it at. So Frank starts a tape recorder and sits down at the table with the fellas. There's some pushback because they don't want to be recorded. And he starts by asking Robert Patrick's character, Mike, who is Travis Walton? And we get a slight, he answers, he was my best friend. And we get a little short montage of D.B. Sweeney, who plays Travis in the movie, just basically being Bart Simpson around town. You understand? He's just riding a motorcycle, enjoying
his
life.
Robert Patrick in this movie is so goddamn sentimental. Like, when he's like, when he's like, "So, you know, all right, you're loggers. You have a story. It's going to be phenomenal. I'm going to record this. By the way, let's just show, who was this to you? Who's my best friend? You don't understand." Like, instantly just...
Very guilty. Like, just to let you know, I couldn't kill him because he's my best friend.
It's like when somebody goes to the spouse and they're like, "So we found your spouse dead." And they're like, "Oh, what, dead?
I love
but that's
them
my
so
husband."
That's my husband.
And I would like to preface, as you guys are listening to this, they could not have made themselves appear more guilty.
Yeah, that's,
I think
that was
the whole time.
Because with the lie detectors coming up too, I think that was just a choice from the movie. Because I feel like if that really happened, you'd be believable. You would be out of your mind, white, and you know, just whiter than what they already are, and very convincing. I feel like you,
because the lie detectors, it's not that someone took a lie detector test and passed. Lie detectors are not lie detectors. They're nervous detectors. They're not admissible in court. So it's not really evidence of truth or untruth. It's the fact that like five dudes,
but I'm saying the movie uses this as them looking, because the whole movie wants you on both sides. Are they lying? Are they telling the truth? So this is setting up, no, the audience, they're lying. And then when they take the lie detectors later and everybody's shocked that everybody passed except for one, who, somebody was inconclusive.
Yeah, it was Dallas.
Yeah, Dallas was inconclusive. But it's like, okay, then that's the audience is like, oh, well, maybe they are telling the truth.
Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that further down the road. So they then, we get to see Mike's house and his two lovely daughters are eating breakfast and he comes by and grabs a bite and then him and his wife have a little reaction saying, "Bank's going to call again today. What am I going to tell him?" He's like, "I don't have time for this." He's just like, "You're gonna have time when they kick us out of this house, Mike."
Fucking Mike.
Mike goes outside to go work on his truck because it's so beat up and old that he has to fix it every morning.
Every time before he leaves.
With that American apple pie face, just going to fix his broken down Ford truck in the driveway.
Definitely looks like he's from Snowflake, Arizona. That was good casting.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, Travis rolls up and he's got breakfast for him. He's trying to cheer Mike up a little bit.
Is he wearing a flannel? You betcha.
You betcha. Flannel. I like their first. Well, there's a scene in this movie where Robert Patrick is not only wearing a flannel, but he's also wearing a flannel on top of his flannel.
Yes.
Layers of flannel everywhere. Yes. This music, listen.
He's a logger.
He takes his lumberjacking very seriously.
Yes. Well, yes. He started in Seattle, too. He started logging Seattle and then came to Arizona.
That's why they can't afford their house, because he buys coffee that's way too expensive.
And flannel money.
Flannel money.
He got it the old-fashioned way, where you had to hunt picnic tables get your flannel on your back. You understand?
Oh, God.
So he tries to cheer him up and then ends up crawling up to the second floor where Mike's sister is, and they have a little interaction talking through the window. They have a little makeout session. He actually asked him to ask her to Dina to marry him. He says, "Don't answer now. Just think about it, okay?"
But hang on. He brings her donuts. Mm-hmm. But how does he get these donuts? Do you remember? Mm-hmm. A girl in the town, 4 o'clock in the morning, setting up shop in the bakery. Mm-hmm. He rides by on a skateboard. She almost pushes her mother down to take a bunch of donuts for free, waits for him, knows he's coming, hands him the bag, and then as he's leaving, looks at him like, God, I fucking love that guy. Now he takes this bag to another girl and is like, thought of you, boo. Got you these. Like, what? Wait, what's happening here? Is he just like
he's the golden dick dude.
He's Wonder Woman's boyfriend.
I mean, to be fair, D.B. Sweeney at this time was hot shit, okay? I mean, look at him. He's a fucking walking, talking. People thought he was gonna be the next Tom Cruise.
Boy, does he wear a flannel well.
Yeah,
he wears a flannel so well he has to wear two.
Just to offset the manliness.
And it's funny because he has such a goopy face.
He
has no chin at all. It just goes, he has a shoulder neck cheek
face.
Situation.
Yeah,
shoulder neck
cheek. A definitely
sneak.
Chubby baby face.
So he then says, can we get going? I feel like I'm going to barf out here, because he's watching his sister make out with his best friend, which, you know what? Maybe that's just how Arizona life is. I don't know.
Fucking Puritans.
Next, we see Travis and them heading down to work. Travis then pulls out a little picture, before he goes. And it's for MT Motors.
This is Mike
and Travis Motors. And so this, he's like, I think this is going to be our future. You know, we'll buy bikes and do that. And I got this little.
They have to establish how good of friends they are.
They're
going into business together.
Right.
But if you took it to Shark Tank, this idea that this guy has, right? Like, it's literally like a fifth grader drawing of just a storefront with
literally
a slogan that said, like, imagine I came on Shark Tank, okay? All right, like,
I'm picturing it.
Yeah.
Okay, you're gonna be the shark, okay?
I'm in a
I'm gonna come at you guys like you're the sharks, okay?
Okay.
I got my best buddy Mike behind me. I'm gonna do the talking, though, because I'm more of a salesman.
I
basically created QVC. Go.
Here's the thing. We were thinking about starting a motorcycle shop. We're going to serve the whole, White Horse area here. I drew this nice little picture. As you can see, there's a tree shrubbery here. MT Motors. Our showroom's so empty because we sell so many vehicles.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is this. First of all, have you ever owned a business, Travis?
One time, actually. Well, I started this one business where I fuck women at local bakeries to get free donuts.
Helps
me bang other women.
I don't know that I'd call
town.
That a business.
So that's not a business,
right?
That's like,
well, I mean, it's a lot of hard work. I put in late hours.
I'm sure it's hard.
Well, you have a good work ethic, but
have you ever made money off of anything besides?
Have you ever invested to start a business?
Here's the thing. I actually have been, I bought a radio for one of my friends at work. It's CB in quality. But that's what I did with some of my donut profits that I made.
Okay. How did that ever come back to you?
Have you ever sold anything?
Yeah.
Have you ever sold, besides the donuts for sex thing, sold anything for money?
I thought about making up like a hoax story that I would sell into like a major motion picture.
Now that I would get in on.
Have you seen Amityville Horror? but Travis, here's my thing, okay? Your whole idea is that you sell so many cars that your place doesn't have cars. It sounds like you want to own a warehouse.
Yeah,
with nothing in it.
That's the trick.
And
I own like 17 warehouses.
You
can do that.
The trick is you buy.
You can rent a warehouse.
Yeah,
you can rent a warehouse.
Now buying all the cars. and then selling them. That's a whole, I'm looking at you and your level of flannel, and I just don't know if that's something that's going to happen for you, man.
Also, are these going to be cars that you have to work on every morning before right. you go out, before yeah, you leave?
They come with a socket wrench.
That's where Mike comes in. Mike comes okay. in with the sockets. Okay. He works on every car before
every
it gets
car
drive
that gets
off.
Sold. Okay.
So it's kind of like a ride share, but with mechanics coming. He'll come out every day, fix your car so you can go to work.
Yeah, so everything, it comes with the Mike guarantee. That means if you push the car back here, Mike will fix it so you can go to work that single morning.
It's guaranteed to work that day.
I'm working the donut angle. I still got that thing in, so free donuts while you wait.
Okay.
MT Motors.
I just want to emphasize this one thing. Your whole business model is based on the fact that you're doing so well. You have nothing to sell.
Yes, except for what we got.
So you have nothing. If
Which
it's
is
empty.
Nothing. Yeah.
Right. So people are coming to buy a car and there's nothing there, and you say to yourself, I fucking did it.
Yeah, there's very little overhead.
Okay, that I don't. Not what only
I
does he not
it
understand
like
prostitution.
Need a bigger, I think the storage. I think you just need more a garage, a bigger garage.
A bigger garage, maybe a U-Haul on the ground.
A second location that just holds cars that you can restock.
I go over here and whisper, Mike, I think they're onto us about the wanting a bigger garage.
And Mike is just like, don't talk to my best friend like that.
He was abused by aliens.
He's my best friend. Let me just start by saying he's my best friend.
Hey, this guy fucks my sister. Okay.
Do you think I let anybody that I know for like 10 years just bang my sister? No.
Only
I trust
my best friend.
I trust him.
But I can't watch it. I can't even watch them hold hands.
Yeah. It's gross.
I want to fuck my sister so beheaded. So, I mean, we're from Snowflake, Arizona. Of course, I love my sister.
So, all right. So they all get up and they head off to work, and there is some tension between Dallas and Walton in the truck. Dallas is actually played by Craig Schaefer, who you might remember from the movie Nightbreed. I really like him in that movie.
Great movie.
This movie is actually made up of a cast of almost A-list celebrities.
Yeah.
It's like the straight up B team.
Straight
time.
B, yeah.
I mean, they have Elliot from E.T. As an adult. They also have Peter Berg, who's been like, you know, the secondhand man in a bunch of movies. So.
Huge director though now.
Huge director now.
This level of cast, because of the level that they're at, it's like being an alcoholic child. No matter how good you do, never good enough.
You're right. Yep. You know, you true on that.
You know.
There's a little bit of tension.
All these guys are like also almost handsome. They're not they're not leading man handsome, but they almost are.
Great eyebrows, wonky
half their
eye,
face is
or
okay.
like
two chubby cheeks.
Just a little bit off. So they head up to the Stillgraves National Forest, and they get to the job site, and you realize why Mike probably runs such an unsuccessful business. I mean, they're not working very efficiently at all. They're
not
literally just giving fucking Elliot from E.T. just like loads of sticks at a time and chopping down trees. And
In Arizona.
And Dallas actually cuts down a tree that's just a little bit too close to Travis and the tension even grows there.
And then he stands too close to him with a chainsaw.
Yeah.
Like, check me out. I'll fuck you up. But Travis also has a chainsaw.
Yeah.
It's very confusing.
They were gonna have
a
battle
it out.
Fight. It was gonna be cool.
That would have sparks flying.
Yeah,
Gears of War style.
What actually would have happened is that I think the chainsaws would have locked links, and then one of their chainsaws would have been pulled from their hands, and the other guy would have dropped his, and they both would have had shit stains.
You've never played Gears of War. What you do is you hit A until you overpower the other person and cut them in half.
That's exactly how Gears work.
Actual physics.
Yes.
Please, don't get it twisted, Kimberly.
Bitch, don't act like you know about chainsaw physics, okay?
So, it's the end of a very hard day, and they head from the job site home, but they see over on the distance to the right of the road as they're driving, and it's a very large red light, and they're like, man, maybe that's a fire or something, but they can't really explain what the light is.
Fire in the sky.
And being white, they go towards the trouble.
Yes.
They go to examine what's happening.
Well, this is the fucking thing. Immediately, Travis is like, man, we gotta go check that out, and they're like, are you fucking out of your mind?
Yep.
No. If it is really a hey, we don't know what that is. B, if it's a fire, we don't want to get trapped up here. I mean,
yeah, we're not firefighters.
Fires that big on a mountain like that can
spread really fast.
I mean, what are they going to do? Just start chopping trees down in its way? They're not firefighters.
Yeah, four out of five.
Get out of there.
4 out of 5 GED applicants have agreed. Not a good idea.
Not a good idea.
So then all of a sudden, the radio starts to go haywire. And I know we live in a time where we know when radios go haywire when you're driving, thanks to the X-Files, that means fucking
aliens.
And Close Encounters of the Third. I mean, that was the first one to do it, really.
You're right.
Great movie.
Chill, son. they get a little bit spooked. And
your
then
clock stops.
All
also.
Of a sudden, yeah. their clock yep. stops, mm-hmm. and then they see it. The road comes right up, and it's the fucking light right in front of them. We haven't seen what it is exactly yet, but everybody's bewildered, staring at what's in front of them, and they look over at Travis. He's already out of the car. He's checking it out.
He's into it.
He's hypnotized by it, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. he's
walking towards it.
Mm-hmm. He looks straight up at it, and it's just a giant fucking flying saucer.
Yeah.
Just like looking at him, it's got a big bowl. You know what it kind of looks like? It kind of looks like the Boston album cover.
Ooh,
a little
okay.
bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like the little spaceship. Just not the blue flame underneath it. Yeah. Very similar
like
to that.
Highly technologically advanced if yeah. like George Clinton was the guy that designed
yeah.
it.
Yeah. It's a real funky lava lamp.
It's
look
funky,
to
it's
it,
cool,
though.
It's weird.
So they're looking at him, and then all of a sudden Travis gets struck with a beam of light.
Oh shit.
Yep.
Oh shit.
It fucking blasts him like 15 feet yep. up in the air. He lands on his back. Everybody is fucking freaking out. They get spooked, and then they all just take
they
off without
out.
Here's the
they
fucked
they
up
leave
part.
Their boy.
Alleged best friend.
Yeah.
Fucking how, bounces.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking what kind of friend are you?
And it's not like he started going up and just like if I saw you go like float up to a spaceship.
Yeah.
And disappear, I would dip out.
Yeah,
that's scary.
There's 100%.
He just got pushed.
No,
he just got blasted back from.
Yeah, he
from
fell.
There.
Yeah.
He fell.
Yeah,
you could have just gone and scooped him up,
right.
And got
didn't
the fuck out of there.
Didn't
nope.
do it.
Yeah.
They dipped out.
And that's a bad friend.
This is where it gets suspicious. Yeah,
yes.
As much as he's screaming, he's his best friend.
That's a bad friend. It's like, listen, if you can't handle me at my alien abduction,
yeah, yeah.
you don't deserve me at my fucking your sister.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So now thinking that his sister is single again, he goes and peels off down the road.
Very excited.
Yeah.
Real excited, this guy. Getting a lot of trouble from the wife over
now
it.
I don't have to watch them make out anymore.
But after they like frantically drive down the road, he stops the car and he goes, we gotta go back and look for Travis. And he's like, you guys can all get out. I'll just go by myself. He
okay.
lets everybody out of the truck. By the way, I don't get out of that fucking truck
nah,
in the
man.
Middle
hell
of the night.
No.
Nuts?
Girl,
like,
hell no.
I go and stay in the truck.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'd be like, let's go look for him.
Yes.
The only thing with a
by
locked
we,
door.
I mean, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's where I want to be in.
They're beaming this whole truck up, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't want to leave this truck until I'm somewhere much safer than
yeah.
in the middle of this fucking woods.
What year was this again that it really...
1975.
Okay, gotcha. So Close Encounters hadn't came out yet. Okay.
Yeah. So it's pretty fucking crazy. They go back up, and as the panic stops, Mike stops the vehicle, lets everyone out, and heads back, but he can't find him anywhere. Now they're back in the diner, because obviously they've been recapping this story
yeah.
the whole time, and Frank wonders why they'd come up with such a wild story, because he's just not buying it. He's a cop, he's a detective, and he doesn't get this. And
what's
then he
the
walks,
motive to lie?
He
yeah.
walks over and finds
who
a copy,
has motive, yeah.
a copy of the National Inquisitor paper, which is clearly like the Midnight Star or anything else. It's the original Onion, you
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the fake, like, my wife married Bigfoot and stuff like that.
But Onion's funny with it. They were so serious about it. They wanted people
yeah.
to believe that this shit happened.
That his wife fucked
real.
Bigfoot
yeah,
and now
yeah,
they have a hairy baby.
Yeah. When he's really just really Polish, you know?
So he walks over to him, and James Gardner's character, Frank, walks over and he picks up the paper. He looks at it for a second. He goes, wonder why they come up with such a crazy story. Shows it
so
to the sheriff. And he goes, case closed. Pretty much. Like,
they
he's already made his
had
mind
a
up.
Chainsaw fight. This is what happened. The cops were, they had a chainsaw fight in the woods. They cut him in half and then made up the alien story.
Yeah.
Exactly. We then see Mike head back to his home, and he has another fun interaction with his wife, who fucking hates him, clearly.
Yeah.
His wife and sister, but his sister,
I think his wife was the woman at the show last night, actually. I was watching this. I watched this after I got home last night. I was like, oh, yeah, I got to do this in the morning. And then I was like, there she is. I was wondering.
There that bitch go right there.
Yeah.
So Mike's being very vague about the abduction and stuff like that, and his sister eventually breaks down because her love, Travis, is gone. There's also just a real quick scene after that where we see David, who's played by Peter Berg, praying to God in the church, saying, forgive us for what we've done, which also makes you believe, did maybe something happen here?
Well, also, I think it's they want the audience still to be divided. Is this happening? But I think it's also because they left them. You know what I mean? That's right. That's my opinion. Forgive us what we've done is they were pussies.
Like,
you know?
If he would have been praying and said, like, forgive us for what we've done, but seriously, could you blame us though?
Yeah.
But see, you would have known what he was talking about.
But see, this is my whole thing. I'm like, if first of all, I'd leave any one of you two. I wouldn't be fucking waiting. The second you got out of the car, but I'm leaving in 5 seconds. Yeah. Get back in the fucking car.
That was a bad choice.
Now.
You just decided your own future.
Get back in the car now. And I would be at church sitting there praying, going, I'm like, God, forgive Kimberly for being such a fucking idiot. Yeah. I mean, what the fuck is wrong with
her? I told her.
She knows I would leave. We talked about it. Yeah. I will leave at the drop of a hat.
She watches X Files. That's her fault.
As soon as there's trouble,
she wanted to be abducted at this point.
She was asking to be abducted.
I mean, I wanted to believe, but not that bad.
If she didn't want that, she shouldn't have worn all that flannel. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
You would have thought the extra layer of flannel would have protected him, though. You know what I mean? It's like having two flak jackets on. You know. Yeah.
Also, it goes to, like, I get it. Like, that's one thing just about aliens that I don't get. Like, if you're coming here billions of miles away, light years, however distance it is to the next closest life being Earth here, and you go down there, why is it they always pick the people in the most flannel or the most trailer parks?
Because those are the people. Because those are the people that are most secluded, usually. You know.
Yeah.
What I mean?
Here's what I was going to offer on that. Okay. And again, no way an expert. Just tiddling with ideas here. Number one, I have heard tell that alien abductions occur in families. That there is a genetic thing that they are attracted to.
Mm.
I have a friend who says that he has been visited several points throughout his life. His wife verified this, and when he was 14, his mom
did
was
his
like,
wife verify by like, yes, he's told me about this.
She verified really weird shit.
Okay.
They heard rumbling in the house, but they were both asleep in a sort of like, at what did I dream that state?
Yes.
When they woke up, everything in their kitchen was open. Rifled through and
aliens
nothing was missing.
We
and
all
nothing
know
was
they,
missing.
They steal China. Oh,
but
nothing
he has,
was missing.
He has these very descriptive things that he sees during sleep paralysis that are really creepy.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say I believe him. I'm not going to say I don't. It's just interesting. His mom, when he was 14, finally, after him being like, I see lights at night, da, 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 was like, I also have experiences, but didn't really want to talk about it.
It kind of makes sense, though. I mean, if the aliens were coming down, like, say, you know, there's a lot of diseases that are genetic, you
right,
know, like they
right
want to examine different bloodline.
And if they're
you know
creating a hybrid society,
yeah,
which
exactly
is also another theory, but not of mine, just out there in the world. And the other thing is,
I wish they were like, I wish they were as cool as the Marvel aliens, like the Kree.
Yeah,
the
right?
Kree, the Kree turned us into inhumans. That's what I want.
Yeah.
If you're gonna do tests on us, make us better. You know,
if you're gonna stick something in my ass,
exactly,
at least make me do math better.
But that makes sense too.
Give me better navigational skills.
Once you get a certain age, when you're getting the doctor puts something in your ass, that does make sense. Probing
honey,
does
sure,
make sense.
Sure, sure.
Honey, check this out.
Is that what they told you?
Yeah, that's how they. Maybe they gave me whiskey and made me feel better.
Honey, I know I've been gone for 5 days, but the aliens, they did some fucked up shit to me.
And
they
I'm
put
really
some things in places, but look at this cock I have. It's 13 inches. Oh my God. Yeah. Like,
this
is
going to hurt you. I'm not telling you to celebrate. You need
and
to be
coincidentally,
prepared.
I'm into pegging now. Like, I love it. Can you just peg the shit out of me?
Excuse Travis, why is it blinking red at the top of it? I don't understand.
That's the tractor beam for your vagina. It's gonna
the other thing. The other thing is
set phasers to pleasure.
Like, the other thing is if you have a spaceship, right, and maybe it's subjected to being fucked up by interference, and both of the coasts have a lot of electricity. They got a lot of vibrations are shooting up in the air. Out in Snowflake, Arizona, I mean, what are there, two TVs in the town, and the one's in a bar, and one's in a church that you get punished for watching?
Yeah.
You know?
That's
like,
what it's there for. You watched 12
Well, I guess it's true. You don't go hunting in the city. You go out into the sticks to go find what
Exactly. There's no interference.
There's nobody. There's no witnesses.
Maybe that's what they're thinking. Like, oh, we'll find man
we all
in his
know
natural
our government.
Habitat where he cuts down
trees. They put
trees.
Him in a jar with a stick and a football.
Yeah. All right. It makes a little bit more sense now. Now, the next day that the search party is out in full force, we get to meet Travis's brother, Dan, who looks like basically, remember the original Superman 2? Zod's like sidekick guy with the beard. Yeah. He looks like Zod's sidekick.
He does.
100%. And he's kind of a badass. He's like, where's my brother, Mike? He's just like, we're literally out here looking for him.
If I knew, we wouldn't be on this.
I literally can't be doing Mike's, more to help
he
right
started
now.
Off with, he's my best friend.
Yeah.
That's why we're
why
looking
wouldn't
for
I be looking for him? What are you saying about our relationship?
Also, the guys keeping up the appearance, you know, if they do, which we later...
Except Dallas is missing. Dallas doesn't want to be part of it because he doesn't really like Travis anyway, and he thinks he's scared because he has a... We'll find out he has a criminal record, so he's keeping his distance.
And he has
a
legit, like, panic when it comes to authority, which is why he did not pass the detective test.
Exclusive.
So they, as they're searching, they find some random Apache guy who's during the search.
Who was just chilling out there.
Yeah, he's just chilling because it's next to an Indian reservation. Yeah. It has nothing to do with the plot of the story at all. The dog goes in, the cadaver dog hits on a spot and they dig it up and all of a sudden they start to uncover some bones. And the sheriff just walks over and just fucking starts wrinkling them
so
out.
Like,
What the hell?
I was so upset about that. When I watch any shows
even at 75, that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
no way to do that.
Because any show that's like... any show
and
before
they
portray forensics...
him as such a competent, like...
If anybody's going to get him, it's going to be this guy who puts his fucking fingerprints on the most crucial evidence.
And just like, none of this stuff I'm shaking away is important.
He had some in his teeth. He used it to like get it out.
He used one of the bones as a toothpick at one point, didn't he?
If that wasn't incompetent enough, they pick it up and he looks at it, he's like, oh, some hunter must have buried his dog. It's his dog bones. He just throws it back in.
By the way, how
shitty are your cadaver dogs that are supposed to find dead fucking human bodies?
Right.
This is what they thought
it was? But you can't look at one bone and go, I know what this goes to. Even a doctor would say, I need a skull or I need some other bone to compare. Mm-hmm. If I get a leg and a rib, I can do a size comparison
and
say...
He saw the tailbone. That's what...
Yes. So they determine that it's a dog immediately and they keep going on. Now, that way, that night, it's after the search is over, Mike's wife is still being a bitch. Tells him that he's been taken off of the contract. He says, well, I'm not really surprised. Well, you should be surprised, Mike, because we're going to get kicked out of this house. And he's like, people in the town are talking about you. They're saying you're a liar, even worse, a murderer. And
she's not a very good wife.
She doesn't
not
believe him
at all.
Yeah. You know, just
it is
she's
a
not...
shitty story, though. I mean, that is like if you know, your husband's accused of murder, like, no, it was aliens, I swear.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to believe.
So she's not supporting him. Mike decides to go over and stay in a motel where he finds out that they're almost completely full because the media has now come to town and they're starting to
fill. They got word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So much media that the hotel was sold out.
Yes. The motel is sold out.
I mean,
out.
At that time, not to forget, there's four stations in the world.
Yeah.
But the whole place is, you got every newspaper there.
Which brings us to the morning when he wakes up out of the motel and Phoenix Action News is there. Which I thought was so funny that it's Phoenix
Action
News.
How much action is in Phoenix?
Exactly. Not enough
to not come to
Snowflake now. And he's just like, where are we going? We're going where the action is. It's Snowflake.
It's what we do. It's what we do best.
So
we fix our car in the morning and we drive to the action.
He doesn't tell him much of anything. He just gets in the car and drives away. Next, he pulls up into town and he's approached by Jarvis Powell, who corners him and who corners Mike and David and tells him, some of us know the truth, and gives him a card for AFAR, which stands for American Foundation. Of of aerial research.
Love
afar.
This guy.
Yeah.
God.
No, like, it's guy. Not specific. It's all aerial research. Like, we're not just UFOs.
Yeah. I like how
we're going to find that Malaysia plane one day. I'm telling you.
Now, the casting of this guy who they got to play Jarvis Powell, he looks like legitly what I expect every person who does UFO investigation to look like.
Straight up dweeb.
Little too oily. Too oily.
The mayor of Dweeb City.
Purposely.
Like a guy who takes showers, but he definitely doesn't use shampoo or conditioner.
He uses olive oil.
I like to take a good fucking lather of like popcorn butter and just put it through my hair every morning.
Well, yeah, because
out.
There's mind control
I think
shit
that's
in the
called
shampoo.
VO5. That's actually what VO5.
Or White Rain.
White Rain.
Travis then walks into a local. Oh, I'm sorry, not Travis. Mike and David walk into the local diner, and it's clear they are now the black sheep of the town. You know, everybody's
the
eyeball
music
fucking.
Might as well have stopped.
They have a little scrape with one of the locals, and then the sheriff Frank show up to go give him some more questions. They say they want him to take a lie detector test, and he goes, "Well, we'll think about it." They don't like that answer, so Frank then pulls Mike outside, and he says, "He's like, listen. We know that Dallas has a past. We read it. I don't even know why you'd be covering up for him at this point." Basically trying to get him to rat out Dallas.
Is
pinning on Dallas. This is the giving him an easy way out. He's like, listen, we can solve this shit.
We just want
you
our
tell
man.
Us that Dallas did it, and then we can go all send you guys to Fuckville.
That's
right?
When Eric would have been, Dallas did it. It's like, let's just put this all behind us.
You and I are still in the woods, cold, shivering, alone. Fuck Dallas.
I cried the whole time. This is my best friend, so I cried.
Listen, I'm not a snitch at all, unless it means like 40 years of my life. Okay, other than that, I'm 100% on board. So David and Mike then go to see Dallas, who they've been estranged from since the abduction has happened. They talk to him.
But again, they make themselves look super guilty.
Yeah.
Because he tells him, he's like, where the fuck is Dallas? Why don't you just give him this dude? Fuck him. Mm-hmm. He has a record. And he's like, dude, I don't know where he is. You're getting on me about something that literally none of my business. I don't know where he is. We're doing everything we can. The second the sheriff walks away, another dude from the group comes up and he's like, hey, where are you going? He's like, to hang out with Dallas.
Yeah.
Well, why would it? I thought you didn't know. He goes, I lied.
Yeah. I lied.
Why would you
dummy?
Lie?
Yeah.
What is in it for you at this
They're
point
buddies.
In the story to lie?
He has a lot of best
the
friends.
Fucking book rights.
Yeah.
But I digress. So they go to meet Dallas, and they can eventually talk him into also taking a lie detector test, but he's not on board. He's just like, y'all are going to pin this on me. I know you're going to pin it on me because I'm not part of the group. And they assure him that they're not. So he ultimately agrees. Dan, Travis's brother, basically, they have a little montage where everybody in the town is watching the local news. You could see they're getting real riled up about this whole situation. There's going to be a town hall meeting, so everybody comes down to the local church to see the town hall meeting. And as they're sitting there, they have people that are coming up and like, yeah, I don't like it. All these out-of-towners are here. I don't know if... I just want to know if we're safe. Rabble-rouser.
You're never... You're not safe.
Never.
In a room, in a church full of white people who are all mad about something, you are not safe. Ever.
No. So they start shitting on our whole gang. And then Mike steps up to the floor and he's just like, Colleen, I went to school with you. You're with my friends over here. And he just starts trying to appeal to some of them. He said, listen, what I saw is what I saw, and what I seen is what I seen. And I'll tell you right now, we're going to take that lie detector test. And everybody just looks at him like, okay, I guess you didn't really need to make a statement about that.
Right.
Just take it, dude. Yeah.
Like, it's kind of that moment. Like, I know we're all comedians here. Have you ever made that one? You're like, I'm going to get such a fucking big laugh out of this. Like, Mike literally has that moment where he's just like, yeah, and that's what we're going
to
do.
And he thought they were all step to their feet and
nobody claps.
Yeah.
And everybody was just
like,
okay,
yeah,
well,
that's what you should have done already.
Right. Why are you here?
You're a monster, pretty much. And
I like how his justification is, we went to school. There's no way I could have murdered anyone.
He's my best friend.
Like Colleen, you and I in this small town knew each other for a series of years in an industrialized school system. How could I have killed somebody?
Yeah.
Like, bro, what are you talking about? Those don't go together. Everyone who killed someone went to school with somebody.
Just because we smoked weed once together in ninth grade doesn't mean I know.
Yeah. Just because we did shit under the bleachers.
Just because you blew me after my field hockey game doesn't mean I'm going to be covering your lie detector lies, okay? I get it. So next they show the gang coming up to the sheriff's station. They're being mobbed by the media on the way in. They have a very, I mean, it's kind of interestingly shot little lie detector montage where they ask him question after question and yeah. the needles are going off and the guy's marking off stuff like, like yeah. this. And it ends and then he says, you know, we're going to have you come back in because one of your tests was inconclusive. And he goes, man, that's bullshit. We're not coming back up here. You said this was either work or it's not.
It's
blah,
kind
blah,
of his
blah.
Breaking yeah, point. Yeah, yeah. It's because yeah. he's over it.
Enough's enough. Yeah. We've told you what's happened. We took your lie detector test.
I'm not taking
And quite
another...
frankly, he's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, he is right.
He's
yeah.
right. If you're and not going like, to arrest me, yeah. you
just
got
arrest
nothing.
Dallas and get it over with.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as the gang all leaves in a huff, the investigators talk to the lie detector the guy who administered the lie detector. They go to talk to him, and he's like, so what do you see here? He's like, well, Dallas's was inconclusive. He was all over the place. I can't really get anything out of that. But the other guys appear to be telling the truth. That's what it looks like. It was Whoa. Consistent across the board for everybody Whoa. Else.
But he doesn't say that in
yeah,
front of them.
Yeah.
He doesn't say it in front of those guys.
So
just
they don't know.
Yeah,
they still are very nervous. Yeah, they're yeah, still yeah. very... Yeah. I like to think that in that church he got too detailed about the things that he went through with the people in the town, and he's like, yeah. Carol, we went to fucking school together. Stacy, we had our first kiss. Amanda, we had a backdoor abortion in 10th grade. Yeah. How are you thinking this way yeah. about me? We've been through things.
It's a very small town.
I do like that they didn't use the cheesy line for, like, they believed what they were saying. He just said, no, they're telling the truth.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They're telling the truth. That's it. So Mike decides to come back home that night, and he's sitting with his little girls, and his wife's like, I guess you could stay, Mike, whatever. And then they get a call, and nobody's talking on the other line. He hangs up. He's like, oh, we've getting these crank calls even at 3 o'clock in the morning. Calls again, and then Mike walks over to go answer. He's like, hey, who is this and who's calling? He's like, will you accept a collect call from Travis Walton?
Oh, my God.
So they... all of a sudden, they go grab Dan. He grabs Dana, and they grab Mike. Who's the other guy they grabbed? It was David.
David, yeah.
David Whitlock, Peter Berg's character, and they yeah. all hop in the truck to go pick up Travis. And as they're looking for him, it's pouring down rain. They come up to a gas station, and he's curled up nude in a ball.
This is when it gets interesting.
Yeah. yeah.
By the way, we're 45 minutes into
yeah.
the movie
yeah.
right
it
now.
It took a while.
Finally, they had
something
yeah,
cool
yeah.
is happening.
Yeah.
So we went through a lot to get to this point.
Yeah.
Well, they wanted you to think these guys were murderers. Yeah.
Good
yeah.
setup.
So
good
he's
setup.
Alive, we find, and he's curled up nude in a ball next to a ice chest outside. He's very sensitive to the touch. He doesn't want to be touched.
He screams
every time
yeah.
he's yeah. every time that somebody touches him.
He's been traumatized.
Yeah.
And you know, he's it's not looking good. So they take him to the bathroom, and this is the most people that have ever been in a bathroom
yeah.
ever.
Like, you know what? I
and
was
he's
thinking
drinking,
that.
Yeah, like that
drinking
scene,
straight from the faucet.
That scene
like,
makes me thirsty every
yes,
time.
Yes.
He played that so well, like he mm-hmm. hasn't drank water in 5 days.
And also, like someone that's been missing who cannot even be touched without not yelling, literally screaming.
Yeah.
And in the smallest wood panel enclosed space you can find, probably not the,
not
the first
no.
go-to.
Yeah. You want to know, I was very similar after I watched the movie Spawn for the first time. That's how traumatized I was from seeing one of my favorite comic
awful
books.
Movie, yeah. I was so excited
that.
For that movie.
I
you
drank
did the faucet,
well,
but with
great...
whiskey?
No, I did it like with a fountain soda of Code Red, pouring it into
yeah.
my mouth for like 5 minutes. Like, I can make this go away.
Burn the sadness.
Have you seen the fan short? The Spawn?
Yeah, it's fucking badass. Dead. Let's
yeah.
talk about Spawn
yeah, sorry.
After the show. I'm fucking dead with it, though. I'm game with it. So all of a sudden, everybody's in the bathroom watching him drink, and he's still nude with a blanket on, and in comes out of nowhere old Jarvis, who we met like two scenes
yeah.
ago from afar.
Yeah.
He comes in. He's just like, oh, get some pictures of him. And by the way,
yeah.
1975 camera technology is definitely better than the camera that guy
yes.
has right now.
And he's like really close to him.
Yeah.
He has him against the wall. He's yelling at the people who care about him, flashing a picture bulb in his face, asking him questions. But this is an expert on how to
yeah,
treat
exactly.
abductees.
That, yeah, it doesn't
yeah.
make sense.
No way. No
yeah,
way.
He's trying to get as much information as he can.
I feel like Detective Olivia Benson would have a huge problem
would
with this.
Would she ever?
Oh my God.
And then she looks, he decides to look out the window that's behind him, and you can see fingerprints. Yeah. What looks to be an alien fingerprints on the thing. And the flashes of lightning outside start to give him a little bit of a flashback.
Yeah.
And we see Travis being transported to the local hospital, and the whole time he's kind of having flashbacks of his abduction.
Because it ties in with him being on the gurney.
Right.
And
the way he was taken,
the lights going overhead.
He's having a PTSD flashback.
Yeah, PTSD flashback. Yeah.
Clearly, we have nothing but broken Travis at this point. So, next we see Travis is alone in his hospital bed now, and Mike enters, and Mike's trying to cheer him up a little bit. He's telling him how everyone missed him.
How his sister's pussy still super tight.
How he's like, yo, when you get out of here,
you're
better.
She's been waiting for you.
Yeah.
That pussy is ready. It's my sister's pussy. I know it's good.
There's like 35 donuts waiting for you at the shop.
Yeah.
We're in Snowflake. I've been there. Like, I can't wait for you to get back.
And then, and then Mike says, he's like, how awful he feels for leaving him on the mountain. And Travis says, you came back? And he goes, and then he doesn't say anything. He's like, you left me there? And
right.
It's kind of awkward.
Awkward.
I came back, man. Did you hear the part where I came back? Not my fault they scooped you up.
Hey, I did, but listen.
Don't talk like that. We're best friends.
I'm your best friend.
I want to make amends. I brought these 4 Pepsi cans that give us $5 off admissions to Six Flags America.
Guess who's going on a roller coaster?
And he snapped out of it, and they went, and it was amazing. End of the movie.
Travis Walton is the old guy that dances around the Six Flags.
So, Travis is then released the next day from the hospital to a mob of reporters waiting for him outside. The kids ask Travis for his autograph while he's there, which is pretty cool. He drives into town, and this little fat kid comes over. He's like, hey, you've been to space. Will you sign my thing?
And he obliges.
Yeah, I guess I could sign this. Yeah, cool. Right. So he signs it for the kids, and then good old James Gardner's character Frank is out there. He's just like, seems that you're going to make a lot of money for the rights to this story there, Mr. Walton.
What's up with that, bruh?
And Travis really gives him nothing, but it's clear that Frank Waters is still a dick.
Yeah, still suspicious.
Still suspicious.
And now it's not a murder.
Anything.
It's a setup for money. It's no longer a murder, but they're still wrong here. Like,
but you
this
could
is
charge on what, like,
you
misleading misleading the police,
filing false report.
Reports,
there's a lot of
so
and Snowflake's still a huge get for they haven't had shit happen in Snowflake for 55 years.
This is still like Kanye West coming to Snowflake at this point. Like, we need to be clear.
Or like, Jesus still, himself, either way.
He's the best thing that's happened to this town, right? I mean, they're setting up Area 51 little
they're
stands.
They're making money.
Stuff
right.
Like
they're
the
ready.
Hotel's making money for the 500 reporters that are...
But they're still treating him like he's some kind of dick. Well, he's not a dick. By the way, he just made commerce explode in your town. Even if you don't believe him, he just helped out everybody in
the town.
They
really just moved the blame for the murderers to him being a dick for faking this, because they just assumed he's lying.
What if he comes back from being abducted and he's like, listen, we're gonna have people here, it's gonna be great,
it's gonna be epic,
it's gonna be the greatest, we're gonna have all these reporters.
This was the best thing to happen to this town.
You're welcome.
And then he became president.
And then he found the sports almanac and eventually became president.
It was Biff.
President Biff. So Travis then gets home, and there's a large party waiting at Mike's house for him there. It's
which
all the townspeople.
You don't do that to somebody. Don't you think he just wants to come home and just lay in bed
chill,
and tremble?
Maybe.
Not a surprise party. That's not the thing to do.
Hey, Mike, look. Hey, Travis, we got you this sweet strobe light.
Look at this
right
fake alien we got. And we tried to make it look as realistic as possible.
Well, here's a great excuse for us to eat.
Yeah, exactly.
How selfish.
Potluck. Yeah, let's do it.
Hey, try Karen's potato salad. It's very spicy.
It's just like that. It's probably like that shit.
Because the trauma of taking a spicy shit isn't going to relive the probing episode he had.
So he's clearly shaken right when he comes in and almost has a mental breakdown within minutes of entering the party.
I feel the same way when I'm around my family.
Dana goes hiding and looks for him, and he's hiding under a table, shaking and just clearly shaken. All of a sudden, some syrup that is spilled on the table goes and drips onto his face and hits him in the mouth, and then begins the flashback, which this whole... I don't think... one scene of a movie, which happens in the last 15 minutes of this movie, has ever saved a movie more than this ending right here.
For real.
We went
or set
a lot.
It up. The whole thing, watching it now, just feels like alien bondage. Like
they fucked
the shit out of this guy.
Oh, God. He gets fucked. Well,
but it's not even like a physical drama of like being, you know, assaulted or something. It's the fact that he like sticks his hand into the small thing that he's being encased in. Yeah. He doesn't know what it is.
Yeah. Well, it
then he breaks through that embryo.
Well, that's
embryo.
What it starts off with. He's in basically like this little
like a membrane.
It's like a
membrane.
Yeah, it reminds me of Matrix when he could almost when he's
very similar.
Very similar. Yeah.
It's like bubbly and he's touching it.
Organic almost.
Yes,
biochemistry.
Some kind of.
So he ends up taking his hand and just sticking it through the side, and then he looks down and it's just like a giant cylinder cavern.
I mean, it doesn't end.
Like,
full of
other
people,
pods that he's in right
can't
there,
tell
you know?
Yet. Yeah.
So he falls out into it, finds out
it's
zero
gravity,
and he's holding on to basically an umbilical cord that was in there, and he pulls himself back up, he bursts into another one, there's just a half dismembered body inside of it, which is super fucking
it's like
creepy.
Still alive, too.
But it's in the stages of decay. So his like hand goes right into it, and it's one of those things where he like saves himself and then realizes what he's deep in,
and he's got fingers deep in this fucking Walking Dead character. Real creepy looking.
What's the guy? Is that Geiger? Is that who I'm thinking of?
That style of
just endless, you know, landscapes and weird shapes. And,
alien movie.
H.R. Geiger is definitely famous for making spaceships look organic. They're a living thing that you're in. So,
and weird sex things with.
Well, we could really use if the aliens had more of a vagina face.
Could you have the tentacles attached through their mouth and then come out their vagina into the other vagina? So they are one loop of love.
It's like I've always said, a tongue cannot be long enough.
Yes.
So Travis now is in back in the zero G chamber, and he starts climbing his way up towards what appears to be the top, and he sees his keys kind of floating around like this, and he goes out and reaches out to grab it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's all of a sudden is kind of pulled down into this other chamber where it looks like there's like basically these gray alien suits that are completely surrounding the room.
Life suits almost.
And he comes up and he's looking at one, he's like, oh, space suit, and he's kind of poking it and everything. He goes to like look at the back like he's almost about to put it on, and then all of a sudden one of the suits comes out from the wall and tries to grab him. He kicks it in the face and knocks off the helmet, and it's all of a sudden this brownish alien face looking back at him that I remember the first time seeing it. I'm like, that's creepy as fuck.
This whole end scene scared the shit out of me.
Fantastic.
Like, I can definitely see why after that you're like, PTSD forever. Yeah.
Right.
So
such a great concept. It's not just that we're gonna take the risk of showing aliens, because the whole build up to this movie hinges on this scene, like we were saying. If these aliens look like shit at all, it made it not worth it.
But
they took the risk. But then to add the concept that they're wearing a suit, that's not what they really look like.
Yeah.
And
that's
also
even more like
selling the idea that these are grays because they wear gray space suits and stuff like that.
They want you to believe
aliens and stuff like that. Like they talk about the tall grays, they are a type of alien. You know, there's also the white Nords and stuff like that. There's all types of different aliens, but these try to tie in the grays into this episode, which are considered to be the more nefarious of all of the alien races that possibly actually exist or could just be total bullshit.
Most predominant
really
in abduction confessions.
What I'm going to try to do for the end of this episode here is I'm just going to play the ending scene, and we're just going to kind of talk it out for you guys of how fucking brutal the ending to this movie is.
Kick ass.
Well, it's the climax of this movie, which is Travis's actual abduction.
And coming
we'll
into this,
right,
like, not
after
watching this in a long time, I watched the first half and was like, man, I remember the movie being way more of this than the actual like setup, like their murders and shit. And I was like, wait, what did I fucking imagine all
that?
Yeah. Like,
this
and then
part
it got
the
to
movie,
it, I was like, oh God, it's only like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
This is my memory of the whole movie.
Is this?
That's how good it is.
Because
that's
this
how good
scene
this ending
is. So fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So we're going to pick up right into the action with the Travis getting dragged down the hallway. He's now been put on a giant table and
is after the gray came out of the suit. And
now he's being dragged by two of these little brown guys, and he's been strapped to a table. And we're just going to kind of talk you through this, guys.
Tearing his pants off
like any awful rape.
Turn
starts.
Him over, they're holding him down.
We get to see how good his pecs are.
He doesn't
like clearly
it.
Done some
and the aliens do
out.
Look good.
They look great.
Grab him by his... They,
rip his fucking chain off. He got out of a fucking Captain Crunch
and they're,
box.
And they're communicating, looks like, mentally, telepathically. Oh, this guy is
this
definitely going to
so
start the
creepy.
Gangbang. So it's like three of them holding down, another guy coming up towards his crotch area.
They have like a bug
on a medical
to
table,
them.
Yeah.
Okay, they take this sheet.
Yeah, like this is latex play all over it.
Yeah,
with,
like a
the way
latex
this happens.
Glove
yeah.
sheet all laid
and then
over
a
top
mist
of them.
Hits it and it tightens up.
Oh, man. And this then is so uncomfortable.
It's like when you put your winter clothes in that vacuum bag and
you suck the air out. Yeah,
yeah, they literally.
The other thing that's great too is that you can't see. This room is huge, but you can only see the operating area. That's
You're spatially very disturbed.
Yeah, everybody that was into latex play in the 90s got off on this.
He doesn't love it.
No.
He's yelling
in their face and like, what? Oh, that would launch me out.
This part here, they take another piece of the little latex fabric and now they've laid it over his head.
Yeah.
And so now he can't breathe. Every time he's like breathing in, like the latex is showing the outlines of his face and his fucking eyes.
Now
he really
here,
had to shoot this, so that is kind of...
Yeah,
the pause here, that does look like a man's arm and hand holding him down.
Does look like
it
a dude's
does.
Hand.
The hand is a little weird though because the knuckles are a little farther back from the pinky.
So now it's totally covering him: his mouth, his eyes, his nose. They have no regard for his need to breathe.
They take a little scalpel cut out a place in the skin they just put over him, so his eye can be free and see around.
I don't want to see what's happening to me at this point.
Yeah, and they cut an air so he can breathe.
Cut a little hole in his mouth so that
he can
breathe.
I mean, if you think about it, this is a good way to. And then
this is the part. Okay, this part right here is when I was watching as a kid. I was like, this is the most terrifying thing.
Yeah.
Basically take a giant handful of petroleum jelly and just
shove it in his mouth.
It's brown.
Which is where I thought this is where the oral is going to start, because they clamp his mouth open.
This is what makes his mouth much sexier if we do this.
It's just going to slide right in.
Well, it's very it takes you to a place where you're like, okay, stripped him down.
You also get at least they cut him a breathing hole, and as soon as they do that,
they take away his ability
to breathe by shoving this gunk in his mouth.
But it's one of those great like design moves where it's like, okay, holding him down, nobody likes that, clothes ripped off, not enjoying that. Okay, he's not butt up now, he's face up, that's better. But they're still holding him down. Wait, what? Now there's a latex and over his head, and in your head you're going, okay, I can kind of cope with this. They don't want him to go anywhere, maybe they're preserving him. Then they open shit up and you're like, okay, what? This is the part that makes your brain go, I fucking can't
quit.
Give
him some of Xandar's famous pudding.
It calms everybody down. It's delicious.
It's got a little lavender, a little marijuana.
Why are you screaming? Everyone loves Xandar's pudding.
A white wine base.
It is a hit at every cookout. So they shove this in his mouth, and then shit gets real, real as they
clamp
it open.
Holding his mouth open with a screw into it that they can shove downward.
Shoving like a giant metal tube into
his
throat.
Like almost a breathing tube, but it's made out of metal.
You could liken this to being intubated in a hospital.
Yeah.
Ooh, shove one into his neck.
Like Frankenstein.
Now they're using something to prop his eyeballs open.
Oh, right?
And now, enjoy my space jizz in your eye.
Now there's a milky substance falling over his eyes.
I'm going to say that it's some sort of antibacterial.
And then this is where it gets real.
Zoom up on his eye while a laser
slowly comes down towards it.
This giant apparatus.
Oh, God. Is there anything worse than
this? Yeah, this would be the worst memory ever.
Oh, look at how horrible. It looks like a Marilyn Manson video.
Yeah, it definitely looks like Marilyn Manson video.
This thing comes down. It's like almost spider-like.
Have you seen the video for "I Want to Fuck You Like an Animal"?
Yeah, it
reminds me of
that
too.
And see, when I was younger, and when I rewatched, I think this is their way of probing his mind. Like they made a connection on the neck.
Yeah.
They made a connection in his mouth. And now they're making the connection through his eyeball.
As this needle just slowly lowers into his fucking eyeball right here. Oh, my God.
It would be so awful.
And then he wakes up.
with the marks on his face exactly where he was pinned down by the machine.
It's fucking intense.
Yeah, it's really intense.
And he's clearly disturbed. And that's the argument for alien abduction victims, survivors, is that they all say the same thing. Why would I want someone to think this about
exactly.
me? Why would I want anyone to think I'm weak, I'm paranoid, I've been abused and returned to a world I don't know how to live in anymore that this happened to
me? Yeah, I didn't want this. I wanted
to
open
gain
up
anything.
I wanted to open up an auto shop that had no cars left.
I had a dream to sell cars,
but
never
in the
have
picture.
Any.
Here's the proof.
Right.
Here's the picture, the proof.
You think I'd want to ruin all this?
And people just stare at him blankly like, yeah, I think you drew that on the way here.
Right.
So that ostensibly is the climax of the movie. There's a little bit of a prologue that happens after this where we get to see Travis about 2 years later. He's married to Dana. They have a beautiful little girl.
And this is a true story. Yeah. She did marry him. She was there when he was found. So that's kind of amazing. I mean, this woman like went through shit with this dude.
And her brother couldn't come to the wedding because he couldn't watch him kiss even once they were married.
He never refused. Maybe he just never kisses. That's why his wife hates him so much.
He goes straight to fucking.
He goes straight to penis
her.
Play. Yeah. That's it. He's like, he doesn't believe in foreplay.
She has every right to be a bitch.
And quite frankly, they don't even fuck that much for reproduction only. They have two kids. That's it.
Yep. He's like, I watch my pro wrestling, I get hard, and then I'm ready to fuck. And that's the only things that we do
so
around
now,
here later.
Now Travis's real kid is half alien.
Yes.
Like, that's a fact.
Yeah.
Alien DNA.
So Travis does go to...
Human.
He goes to try to meet Mike one last time, and Mike is living in his old house, and he lives there alone. He looks like he's a roadie for Leonard Skinner
not
now.
Looking great
like, he looks like he just got off tour he like yeah yeah,
yeah.
They were on a 3 month tour he just got
his
back.
Skin is just as gray as the aliens that abducted his best friend.
It was really Mike raping him the whole time.
Yes. And they then drive back to the original abduction site and says, I don't want to be here. He's like, I didn't want to be here either. But, you know, basically has a little heartfelt moment about how they have to move on and goes, he's like, let's get out of here before they come back. And then Travis goes, oh, they won't be back. I don't think they like me. And
what if when he says that, when he's like,
they said my butt was way too loose for them. And
what if he was like, we got to get out of here or else they're going to come back. And he laughed, but it was like, ha! Like, it was clearly he was an alien. Yeah. Like, ooh, boy. Ooh.
That would be a great ending if he's like, they are coming back. And then
but
Mike,
it sounded
Mike
mechanical.
There's
like a thing in his throat. Yeah.
They won't be coming back. I told him I was voting for Reagan. They're very liberal aliens.
They're very scared about this whole Star Wars program.
And they're right. They should be.
They should
smart,
be. Smart,
you know, trickle down economics didn't work out
forever,
for anybody.
Yeah,
see, that was what scared the aliens off. It was Reagan this whole time.
I mean, I'll stick jelly down a dude's throat, but trickle down economics, you gotta be out of your fucking mind.
His name is Ray Gunn, so you do the math.
Oh no,
aliens are terrified.
If you're asking yourself, audience, would I sit through this whole movie to see the possibility of a super cool 15 minutes? Is it worth it? Emphatically, yes.
No,
100%.
I think it is 100% because also too, the beginning is good because that it gives you the back and forth of it. Are they telling the truth? Are they really? Did they kill their friend?
No, it's a really cool movie to watch, honestly. And it's really weird. It only has like a 46% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, really?
Which is really surprisingly low.
Yeah. What's the fan rating? Do you know?
I don't know. Like, we can check that.
And
though.
See, because it's about aliens, this is the kind of thing that's timeless, right? This movie came out in 1993, but because they never let you know if they did it, if they didn't, if it's true, if it's not. If this was about a murder, you would have way more opinions.
Yeah,
but every time you watch this movie, you go, I don't fucking know. It's about aliens. It's something I can't prove that no matter how much people talk about it on the internet, I'm never going to be able to say yes or no, absolutely.
Yeah.
Ooh, the tomato meter is a 41% and 57% on that. It's surprisingly low. Yeah,
surprisingly low. It's also kind of a niche. I don't think a lot of people go out of their way to watch a movie like this.
Yeah, if you're into alien abduction stuff and like if you want to see the most nightmarish like 15 minutes of a movie, the last 15 of minutes of this movie deliver hard.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, no, I enjoyed watching it again. I loved it when I was little. I was like 11 when this came out, I saw it in the theater.
It was fucking
And you
creepy,
might say,
dude.
Well, then why didn't they do more of that scene? Here's why. Because it's taken from allegedly a true story.
Exactly.
They played out the story as it was. A bunch of people lost someone they know and love for 5 days. This is what occurred during those 5 days. When he came back, this is what he said.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's the story. There's nothing else to put in or take out. Like, they even add that Mike is divorced at the end. They even add that tidbit.
Yeah, well, let's face it. He wasn't the greatest husband. No. Yeah. All right. He wasn't getting husband of the year.
He put a lot on logging.
He did.
A lot.
Mm-hmm. You know,
kind of a gambler.
I've given my life to flannel, honey. You know I don't have time for you.
Or money, because all the flannel.
Mike's children went on to have very successful lives with their absent father for the rest.
So what? Okay, what's your guys' opinion?
I personally, I had a lot of warm feelings about this movie. I didn't remember the rest of the movie when I rewatched it recently. I did, but this is one of the most shocking scenes that I had always stuck with me.
Yeah,
when
me
they
too.
Shove the thing down his throat. I mean, the whole latex over the face, everything about it is so creepy.
I mean, more like aliens. Like, put it out there.
Oh,
stand by
I,
it. What's your opinion?
What's my opinion on aliens?
Yes.
Okay, so I believe aliens absolutely 100%. Exist.
Yeah.
The abduction stories and stuff like that I find are very interesting. Like Benny and Barney Hill is a more realistic story to me. I don't think particularly Mr. Walton's story. I tend to be more in the camp of I think this is a hoax that he perpetrated upon all of us.
Okay.
I don't know. I think he was hoping to get much more rich off it than he actually ended up getting.
Do you think he was disappointed that it was Robert Patrick movie?
Yeah.
Like he's like, fuck.
He's just like, I am Tom Cruise material,
right.
Clearly.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily believe his story just from what I've read about him.
Sure.
And it's just a little too convenient. Some other people's abduction cases are much more, I feel like, telling. Like
and most
if,
people
have you ever
talk
seen the
about
movie
being
the
abducted more than once, too.
Yeah.
That's like this common theme.
It is a common theme.
Have you ever read The Fourth Kind before?
I haven't read it. I've seen
movie.
The movie, and it's fucking
that is,
terrifying.
Yeah.
That story is a little bit more, I think, believable to me and how terrifying that is.
Yeah.
And just abduction stories in general, I'm always very interested of it because they seem to have a lot of correlations with the same people who have possession stories and stuff like that.
Yes.
So like, where is it between where what we think is possession versus mental illness versus this? Because, I mean, I feel like there should be some type of hard evidence that we have that we don't that doesn't exist. So I kind of keep it at a certain level. Now, do I think that there's aliens? 100%. Do I think that people on Earth have been abducted by them? I'm not so sure. I mean, you would think so for with all these accounts, but the fact that when that first started becoming a thing was after Betty and Barney Hill, and that ever after that it was being reported much more frequently.
However, at the same time, Betty and Barney Hill occurred at the very, very beginning of the information age.
That is
so
true.
So it's not just the fact that they told it. It's the fact that they told it. It was put in newspapers. It was put on TV. It was put on the radio. You know, hundreds of years before that, if that was happening, it would have been heard about in your town,
well,
and no, it wouldn't have gone past
hundreds of years
that.
Ago, they just say it was a burning bush that talked.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Let's
not get carried
away. It was always
away.
God.
Well, then let's argue even like 70 years before Betty and Barney Hill. It was too early. And I mean, we were living in a society where you would be stoned to death for speaking that way.
Exactly.
And they were an interracial couple. Why would they ever want to bring all the attention on themselves?
That's
like the
true.
Best argument.
Well,
that's very true.
The other thing that I...
There's also weird things about their story that is like, hold up. Like, he has some weird things on his body that are
that's what always gets me is the marks that get left behind. What is it, the what was that hotel that there was a UFO thank you Wakanda, yes.
Hotel Wakanda.
You can go, but you can never leave without 40 acres and a mule. like there was an alien conspiracy convention, because alien conspiracy came together because of the internet. The internet happened, and the first people to jump on that were one, perverts, and two, alien conspiracy. They all started talking to each other across the globe, across the U.S. They'd never been able to do that before without going to great lengths. So now they all have this convention. They get together. They're hanging out. They're trading stories at the convention. Aliens come in. This is a story. Believe what you want to believe. Yeah. Aliens come into one of the hotel rooms with a bunch of people all staying together who are all abductees who do not previously know each other, if I remember correctly. And in the morning, two of the three of them have marks on their body that are super weird. It was like a triangle design of 3 points right above his dick.
That's exactly.
And then like marks on his back. And that's the thing, is they're not explainable. If you went to the length to do
that's
a hoax,
because they
you have
didn't
to make
see,
these tools.
That's because they just got really drunk the night before, and old three tooth Sally was coming out of blowies the night before.
And
she always bites. She always
She's a biter, that bitch. You have three teeth. Why are you a biter?
Exactly. So it's like, of course I got one. I was out with three tooth Betty the last night.
That's what gets me, is the...
She's an illegal alien, but it's not the same.
I feel like this is... I've heard it mentioned before, but what I think is more a likely scenario, at least with the alien abduction cases, I feel like if they abducted us, they'd never return us. I think they would be... They would come and do what they will with us, and then, boop, we'd be gone forever. So what I really think, in my personal opinion, again, none of this is substantiated, but when you look at from the 1960s on, when this was being reported as happening to people, that was also a time when the U.S. government was also experimenting with LSD.
Yes,
and still
experimented with a lot of stuff.
They experimented with that. I mean, I think making up a story that where you made it feel like somebody that you picked up that you wanted to do some fucking fucked up ass tests and stuff, some sit up their ass
and
pump them through
LSD
and then make a shitty movie set with maybe a couple rubbery guys that stand over top of you. Yeah, you're gonna go back and say that aliens did this to you, and nobody's gonna fucking believe you.
And that's
that
what's fucking great about the X-Files is the X-Files whole arc plot is that Fox Mulder believes in aliens. He comes out and says it. A bunch of government people are like, shut the fuck up, you can't talk about that. But so you believe it.
You believe
this is all about aliens. But then when it comes down to it, when Scully gets abducted and comes back, and you realize these are people who are setting up a room to make you disoriented. They're pumping smoke into it. They have white tents and lights, and they're making it possible for her to be impregnated or inseminated, gestate, birth a baby, all in a matter of like a 24 to 48 hour time span, and then she goes back to her life and has no recollection. Who wouldn't want the power to do that?
So I think there are aliens.
I mean, I think they're aliens.
I believe they exist.
And if we had the power to go to another planet and we observed a species that was light years behind us in technology, we would abduct them, and we would do studies on them. Would do that. Our government would want to know.
Well, first we try
people,
to sell them Bitcoin.
Yeah, we would definitely.
And then
we got to make that.
Hey, what if really all of these alien abductions are really just their form of Jackass TV? Like, hey, my name is Klaxar, and this is the anal probe.
What if they're really, really, really bad timeshare salesmen, and they just aren't doing this well?
They're not doing it.
Come to Earth. Look here.
It's awesome.
You can stick metal things in people's assholes and send them back, and they'll write books about it. You'll love it. You'll go down in the annals of American history. Literally. So that'd be fun. Ryan, where can people find you? Where can people find Ryan Nazer and learn more about you?
You can find me on the tweets, Ryan Nazer, at Ryan Nazer, Facebook, Ryan Nazer,
N-A-S-E-R,
Instagram,
right?
N-E-S-E-R.
There you go.
At the Cellar Door every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
I'm going straight there after here.
Yeah, sucking it up. And it was fun, man. And Kimberly, where can people find you?
You already know. You can find me lying about abductions or other such things on Twitter at Watch Me Doing This, on Instagram at Panic at the Deli. I'm also at the Second Saturday Shit Show, which Eric is headlining soon.
In September,
at the Auto Bar. It's going to be super fun. It's always free. Come up and see us.
Fuck yeah. Definitely check it out. I'm very excited. You guys can see me in September. You can also find all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com, Eric with a K, Comedy with a C. Make sure you on the iTunes or the Stitcher. Leave us a 5-star rating. We look forward to seeing Jim Meyer next week with The Last Dragon. So tune in for that. Thank you. God bless. Keep it out there because the truth is out there, folks.
Hell yeah.
Yes, it is.
It's funny because I actually slowed it down so it almost sounds legit. Like...